Okay, welcome and good evening. This is the Glen Allen School District 41 Board of Education regular meeting, April 28th, 2014. The time is 7:32. Call the meeting to order. Mr. Kenwood, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Please rise. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Stecker, roll call, please.
Mr. Escalante.
Here.
It's good.
Mr. Kenwood.
Here.
Mr. Alger.
Here.
Mr. Buchanski.
Here.
Mrs. Nelson.
Here.
Mr. Ellis.
Here.
Mrs. Black.
Here. The board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Ellis, second by Mr. Elger. Roll call, please, Mrs. Stecker.
Mr. Elger?
Yes.
Mr. Buchanski?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr.
Escalante? Yes. Motion carries. We will be adjourning to the room, the conference room next door, for a few moments, maybe 10 minutes.
Maybe 10.
And we'll be back. Time is 7:33. Okay, back in open session. Time is 7:46. Public participation. I'd like to remind members of the audience that speakers should identify themselves, complete a public participation form, and limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. Personal complaints, criticism about staff members, students, or other members of the District 41 community should be initiated privately with the appropriate district representative. Also, profanity, interruption, and or other interference with the orderly conduct of the meeting are not prohibited. All questions raised will be forwarded to the appropriate D41 staff representative for a response, if a response is warranted. Is anyone present this evening that would like to address the board at this time? Mrs. Stecker. Mr. Cooper, are you ready?
Sir.
You may begin.
Jeff Cooper, Glen Allen. Dr. Gordon, you seem like a nice guy.
That was kind of a...
Dr. Gordon told me on his first day in July that he couldn't do anything about spending by his predecessor, but to hold him accountable for spending under him. As I brought up before, the bird dropping started on day one of the school year. First, it was the bike fixtures for a couple thousand wasted dollars. Paid speakers on institute days have cost us thousands and thousands more, highlighted by the $7,000 spent on Will Richardson. The Consortium for Educational Change, a firm that added our retired pensioner, Dr. Reebok, has received over $10,600 from us since October. For what? I'd like to know what absolute necessity that CHD provides to taxpayers of District 41. Board members, consider that I just asked a question. I'd like an answer, too. And to point out that your board president isn't in the habit of answering inquiring stakeholders. Now we have the trip to the Holy Land, Colorado. You know, Rocky Mountain High, which we all must be, to allow the misspending of our tax dollars. Two trips. First trip, five people went, it cost us $3,000. The second trip, 12 more went. 11, because apparently Karen Carlson went twice, for $3,000 more in airfare alone. Hotels and other expenses, I guess I'll have to wait another month or so until the next MasterCard bill finally gets posted. All I know is that I was misled by the communications director, who told me she thought that five people went on the second trip. Five from Central Services alone went, but so did seven others. Either I was intentionally misled to minimize the trip, or this would be another great example as to why the position should not be kept, or at least not as a full-time one, costing us taxpayers about $110,000 a year, plus all the generous benefits. And about these trips, if the expenses total over $10,000, shouldn't they have needed specific board approval? Same for the CEC. Do we just allow the district to spend whatever on whatever? I'll conclude with some points that I may have made before, don't probably have to make again until I see that the board really understands. The board works exclusively for the taxpayers of District 41. The board works with, not for, the administration who have been hired by the board. The superintendent works for the board, not the reverse. It's not a hard concept to grasp, except for a couple people up there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Anyone else? Go ahead when you're ready, Amy.
I know I'm kind of jumping the gun, but I wanted to speak now because I may not be able to speak at the end. I wanted to just speak briefly about the recommendation that Dr. Gordon is going to make tonight about the 21st Century Initiatives. I'm on Team 21, and at our last meeting, we went through the results, and the day after the board meeting, the same as the board meeting. We also went through the PLC survey results, which also had a chance for teachers to comment on some of the changes. During the discussion, a question was posed as to what the harm would be in pausing with the plan for a year. And I know that that's going to be the recommendation tonight. I wanted to let the board know that no one in Team 21, which is a large group of people, was able to identify any harm in pausing for a year. So in taking Dr. Williams was ultimately going to be his recommendation. And in fact, there were many benefits that were noted, including more time for professional development, more time to focus on curriculum, and more time to gather data about whether the changes that have been made have actually been good. So I was pleased to learn that Dr. Boyne is going to recommend tonight that we do pause as far as not moving forward with 2K multi-age. The only thing I can say is that I hope that in addition to pausing, that the board and the administration will keep an open mind in the future. And during this year of reflection, when we have more data, and I know the comments came back from the teachers as well, we'll listen to the teachers, listen to the students and the parents, and consider in the future, at the end of next year, still keep an open mind about whether or not you want to move forward in that following school year, and also keep an open mind about whether the changes that we've already made have achieved the result that we hope for. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. Okay, anyone else?
Mr. Rojas.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have been thinking and keep thinking about the changes that have already occurred and the impact that has had in my fourth grader. And I would like to, I'm very glad to hear that you are recommending for a pause for a year, but I would like to go beyond that and really encourage you to consider what has happened. At this point, as parents in the community, we have not heard or seen any student data on whether we're going the right track or not. And also, basically, comments from the teachers. I'm very concerned as to the professional development they have received. I think we are putting a lot of burden on them without proper training. And, of course, the students are the ones who are carrying the burden of that step. As we mentioned last year, and we continue to mention this year, we would love, as parents in the community, to see a responsible plan with steps that would help us see where is the direction they're going, what training has been put in place in order to ensure a successful trial if we're going in that direction. And also, what are the goals? We understand that this might be a long-term goal that you have to see if this is successful or not, but we would like to see what are some benchmarks along the way that you would consider so we can have an indication, are we going in the right direction or not? Again, as the parents in the community, we have the feeling that this is not going in the right direction, but we would like to produce some clear data, not just our opinions and feelings of parents, but the data which we haven't seen either. Thank you.
Hi. I would like to talk a little bit about my concerns as far as the fourth and fifth graders go. I have a fourth grader, and a lot of the things that I've seen for her, especially in literacy, have been things that are, in my opinion, more towards the fifth grade material. And I don't know if this is just because of her teacher, because I know her teacher has taught that grade, although I'm sure she'd be, more than capable to teach whatever grade. But it really felt like it was beyond where she, had been quite a big step from third grade. And although that has stretched her, I feel that there have been gaps where it just kind of went over the top of her head. Now, saying that, she's going to be in fifth grade next year, and I wanted to know what is going to be happening with the looping, because I know that was a big thing for multi-age. However, it doesn't seem that there are enough sections for that to happen with every student with their current teacher. So that's a big concern for me. If she's going to have a different teacher, how are they going to know where she's at? Where are the gaps that need to be filled? Where am I as a parent going to have to fill in all those gaps? I'm feeling that burden of having to fill in, you know, those areas where my kid didn't quite get it because it was fifth grade material. Is next year, is she going to get fourth grade material? Is that going to stretch her or not? Is she going to be bored? You know, just a lot of questions still in my mind as far as that is concerned. I'm also concerned with the amount of computer time that both of my daughters have. I have a second grader, alongside a fourth grader, and the more I ask, the more concerned I become. I have talked to their teachers, and it does seem that a lot of how things are happening recently, I think there has been a new implementation, which I didn't know about, and I was really surprised to find out that apparently at Lincoln they're doing this new model of menus, it's called, and I've heard that a lot of teachers are very not excited about it. I, as a parent, am not either. I feel like I send them to school and not to spend time at the computer, and I think my kids are on the higher end of things. So if they understand it and they master it, then they can go and do all these things on a computer so that their teacher gets to spend time with perhaps those that are falling behind. And yet when my kid has questions, she said, Mom, sometimes I have to wait 20 minutes before I can go and get an answer to my question. And by that time, you know, I can't advance and I'm working on these things. So it just, you know, and my child is certainly very frustrated. She has expressed that. She said many times, Mommy, it used to be so much better before. When my teacher used to teach, you know. And, you know, that's a big question. How much time is spent teaching versus them? And I know we want them to be self-learners. I understand that we want them to be independent. But at the same time, are we giving them the tools? And are we giving the teachers the tools to do this? And right now, I don't feel that it's happening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No more? That's it? Okay. There are no presentations this evening, so we'll move to the PTA Executive Council summary. There you are.
I see you. You don't recognize me tonight, right? I'm so excited to be here. I have my hair done for me, though.
You may begin when you're ready.
I'm going to come. No. Well, as you know, we had some wonderful news last week, so I just wanted to share that again this evening to everyone who else might not have gotten the word. But last week at our regional meeting, several of our schools received some local awards. So last time I talked about Hillary Schmante-Schmake, who received the Illinois Outstanding PTA Teacher Award. And then now, this last week, we received an Outstanding Programming Award for Ben Franklin for their speed stacking after-school program, which was created by a student. So that student's mother was there to receive that award for Ben Franklin. We also received an Outstanding Community Service Award for the hard work that Churchill PTA does. Four of our presidents have ended their 2 years as presidents, so they all received service awards for their leadership. We also received an Outstanding increase in their membership. And then Hadley also received the Regional Outstanding Local Unit Award. So that was really exciting for us to get that recognition. So that that was awarded by our regional director, June Donovan, who right now she is over about between 70 to 80 different PTAs in the DuPage County area, Glen Ellen, Wheaton, Warren, School. So that was fabulous for us. Next year, we've already started working on some big things for next year. Hadley is going to be transitioning next year. I know Dean Alger went to POW this year, as well as Eric Nelson. So next year we're looking to roll out BAM, which will be Becoming Amazing Men.
Okay.
So that is our next year, our big program. And then
Also, as a council, at the beginning of the year, we had made a commitment to doing a safety fair. So myself, Sue Rossi, and Rita Corleone will be heading up that for next year to work with some of our also local community organizations to hopefully put on a safety event for all the schools. So. And then, Lori, as I said last time, Lori Taylor will be taking over council, and at the region meeting, I was elected the region director, so I will now be taking on that role as Gene Donovan, so of having that 70 or 80 role, 80 PTA under me, so hopefully we'll be able to tackle that and see more great work and outstanding achievements from the Sunderland PTA. So thank you.
A lot of good stuff.
Congratulations, and thank you, Mrs. Massey. You were done, right?
I'm done. We take a poll now. You guys all left my hair. You know.
Thumbs up from the guys.
Okay, thank you.
We can't vote on it, though.
Okay, moving on. Action items. The consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately?
I would like to make a motion to remove the one of the pages on the check registry, which is the FQM Architects. I'd like to go over that in more detail with Bob on certain of the projects listed on the detail of the building page. Project 3, 4, and 6 to be exact.
You don't need a motion. You just need to
pull that off.
Yeah. First time I've ever pulled anything off, so I'd like to pull that one off.
Okay. So we understand exactly what Joe's talking about.
We know. I know exactly what Joe's talking about.
Okay. Any other requests? Okay. Now, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda minus... Well,
FQC bill.
FQC.
FGM. Yeah, FGM. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, is that specifically listed in here?
It's not. It's just under summary of bills.
Okay, so FGM bill for this month? Or is it?
The March 25th.
Okay, all right. We just want to be clear of what we're doing.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, now, everything else, including... Human Resources Personnel Report, the Employment Recommendations and Resignations, the Resolution Authorizing the Dismissal of Educational Support Staff, Finance Facilities and Operations Reports, including the Treasurer's Report, Investment Schedule, Monthly Revenue Expenditure Summary Report, Summary of Bills and Payroll, School District Payment Order, Vandalism Damage Report, Disposal of Surplus Property, the 2013-2014 FOIA report, and other matters, including the approval of the board meeting minutes of the April 14, 2014 special meeting for the public hearing, the April 14, 2014 Board of Education regular meeting, and the April 14, 2014 Board of Education regular meeting closed session minutes. May I have a motion to approve?
Motion. Second.
Motion by Mr. Ellis, second by Mr. Kuchinski. Roll call, please.
Mr. Kuchinski?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay. Superintendent's recommendation. At the April 14th meeting, the board discussed the following 1, 2, 3 items. Number one, the Hadley student device refresh. Purchase of 430 Acer C720 Chromebooks for 6th grade students through a 3-year lease with American Capital Leasing at an annual cost of $36,442 and a total cost of $109,326. The recommendation also includes the purchase of 430 Acer C720 Chromebooks for 7th grade students through a 2-year lease with American Capital Leasing and an annual cost of $53,205 and a total cost of $106,410. Total annual estimated cost for both purchases is $89,647, with a total investment of approximately $215,736. May the motion to approve the administration's recommendation.
Motion.
Second.
Said motion by Mr. Elger. Uh-huh. Second by Mrs. Nelson. Sorry, Patrick. Any discussion?
The thing I wanted to highlight was this one part in here that says, rather than following past practice, providing student devices to content area by room location, each student will be assigned a device. So, in other words, they'll have autonomy with that advice to get into Google Docs and the kind of apps and the things that they're doing, whether it's in their English class.
Correct.
Or whatever it might be.
Okay. Correct.
Okay. So, more flexibility?
A lot more flexibility.
And again, this is what we're talking about, this device right here, right? I've had a couple questions from parents this week, given the circumstances that happened at Forest Glen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it doesn't specifically affect this recommendation, but it's certainly a corollary issue. So, I don't know if now is the appropriate time to ask questions on...
I've got internet safety on my superintendent report that we'll be addressing, but, I mean, it's up to you if we want to go there now.
Well...
How about we go through these discussions, and then I'll pull it into superintendent report, so it's up to you. It's up to you if you want to have the conversation now.
I mean, me personally, it's not going to affect me, affect my vote in a negative way, unless there's something
mm-hmm.
that... You're going to tell us that there's no way we can do this, and it's...
No, I won't be telling you that.
Any other discussion on that point? Or
no, I think Paul told us he was going to have a side presentation on that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll delve into that issue later
under
on.
In the next section.
Okay. All right, anything else? Okay, roll call, please.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Buchanski?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Alter?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay. Document camera rollout. Purchase of 82 ELMOM-01 document cameras from Midwest Computer Products. A total cost of $26,158. We have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation.
Motion. Second.
Motion by Mr. Escalante, second by Mr. Ellis. Any discussion?
I think we asked the question the last time in terms of this being, this is the wrong word, but contemporary, like how they use the document cameras. I was in some of the classrooms and they were using them, so I know it's not, you know, it's not a tool that's not utilized, but...
usually wasn't in the classroom.
It's more flexible than it looks, I think.
Well, I mean, there was a healthy discussion on this topic in the last board meeting, so...
In the Finance Committee, they
beat it
up pretty good.
Anything else on this? Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Buchanski?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. The 2014 Summer Classroom Equipment Recommendation. Purchase of classroom furniture and equipment with an estimated cost of $129,365.69. These purchases are part of the normal classroom refresh cycle. We have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Ellis.
Second.
Second by Mr. Buchanski. Any discussion on this?
I just had two questions. Just reiterating, teachers... They like this. They feel they're better organized in their classrooms, and they can use all those. Right? I mean, it's still the feeling from the team, right? I mean, it says so.
Karen.
And we've made some adjustments. Particularly, the first grade teachers gave us some feedback, so we'll be purposing some of the furniture that didn't work as well for them down above PK and some of those things.
Okay. Well, that was the other thing in the recommendation. It talked about making some adjustments. So.
Yeah, it was based on their feedback.
Any. Key adjustments, what were they?
Well,
get rid of the bean bags? Or?
And that is hit or miss depending on teachers, and so the building administrators, I think, have done kind of some readjusting of that. But at first grade, the chairs they felt were too small, so we were able to kind of move those out. They liked the tables and do some of those things. And then I would say the intermediate, which we're not focusing on this year, moving more towards more tables then and some of the desks and that. So. And I think for some teachers, it's just their rooms are smaller, and the furniture feels a little big, and sometimes it's hard to give up
And the stuff that we like. This stuff is lasting. It's been durable. It's not.
Very much so. And Bob could.
Yep.
Yeah. All
right.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else on this?
I guess I'm just a little surprised when I read some of the teachers' comments that they really thought this wasn't a priority. I mean, I look at it when I'm in the classrooms, and I think the new classroom, the new furniture makes it more collaborative than it had in the past. But ultimately, I think it's important that we understand why some of the teachers didn't like it. If it's what you said, Karen, it's the size of the room, and this furniture didn't fit for it, then maybe we have to look specifically to certain small rooms and come up with an alternative instead of the style that we've chosen throughout the district. But I was just surprised to see some of those comments.
Okay, anything else? Yes, sir. All right, roll call, please.
Mr. Alter.
Yes.
Mr. Pachinski.
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood.
Yes.
Mr. Escalante.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay. Superintendent's report.
All right. We'll start off with internet safety, and Mike will be alongside me to have this conversation.
I'm sorry. But
I apologize.
When we pulled something off, are we going to discuss it? Or?
It's going back to Finance Committee. Are you talking about the consent agenda?
Yeah, we pulled something off. So
I pulled something off.
Can you at least share the concerns?
Oh, yeah. The concerns are in the billing. I don't feel comfortable with the hours that we're paying for in the specific projects at the end of the bill in the billing detail. I was okay with, after learning more about the Lincoln parking lot, it was an add-on project. I'm going back to the contract we approved last October, and I'm trying to reconcile the two, John. And I haven't 100% reconciled it with all the.
So you need some time to go through the hours.
Yeah, I asked Bob to work with our consultant to get an understanding why they're showing up more than the hours that are served.
Okay.
Standing on that.
Okay.
It was a good conversation in finance. So internet safety under my superintendent's report. A week ago, learned that there was a breach within the firewall that allowed a group of students to be able to access internet material that's not appropriate for our district. What we did was first communicate to the Forest Glen community, informing them of this, spoke to the parents. I thought Mary and Megan, the principal and AP over there, did a fantastic job of spending a number of hours investigating this situation, found out exactly what happened, and then started working with Mike from the IT department to determine how best do we support our students in the community with the internet. Going along the lines that Sam asked, with more technology coming in, how do we ensure that we protect our students? And one of the most important things that we have is the filter, ensuring that we have a good firewall in place that's up and beyond industry standards. And we really feel like we do have that piece in place. But things are changing dramatically. As Mike has talked to me about it, over 400 new pornographic websites are online every day. So our system is catching those pieces as rapidly as possible. There was this one situation, and I would reiterate, it's one situation that occurred where an individual was willfully trying to access this information. There was also bringing their own technology to school and accessing this information. So with those two pieces, I really believe we've got a very good, very safe firewall with it. Mike, with that, you talk about a little bit of the details behind the firewall itself. How do parents feel safe? How do board members feel like that we are creating a safe environment for our students to be able to access internet without totally locking it down? Because I've had some parents who've asked, we've got to just lock this thing down. What does that mean? What would that look like if we ended up doing something along those lines?
Well, the way it's structured right now is it blocks by categories. And these categories, and I'm sure the document pretty much lists out most of those categories. There's some subcategories within some of those, but You get the idea of major categories that are blocked by the firewall. These categories are vetted and evaluated by Intel. So our firewall gets updates at least twice a day. It updates its definition files very much like an antivirus does. But just like an antivirus, it doesn't always update everything. Something, you know, could still be available out there. So when Mary asked you to look into the logs, we did. There were 9 students that we looked into 3 months worth of activity.
9 or 90?
9. Which we did. We did that right away. We pulled the log files so we could see every site that they accessed. And there was actually 2 links that led to 1 site that was accessed by 1 student. So as soon as we found that, we blocked those right away. And every now and again, we'll get a request to block a site. But for the most part, we get more requests to open sites to make things a little bit more available for students. But the firewall is something you check every day, sometimes multiple times a day. Same thing with the content filter. We don't sift through everybody's internet access, but we do check the logs on a daily basis. So we do try to keep on top of that. Of course, securing our network, making it a safe, reliable environment for our students and staff is our top priority. So we take it very seriously and there is a good track.
So are these, are these 9 students in the same school?
Same school.
Is there a way to a 4th or 5th grader to work around the firewall? Can they access a site that is not blocked and then access one that is blocked through the unblocked site?
Well, there are things called proxies, and we block those as well. And that's a common way students or anybody trying to get around the firewall will try to do that. So that'd be one way that they could try, but those are sites that we block. But proxies pop up all the time as well. So it's kind of like a whack-a-mole that you're trying to keep up with these new sites and these new services that pop up. But every now and again, there may be some that are available.
So, Mike, is it the incident involved a school district computer on the school district Wi-Fi?
At least for the one site.
Okay.
That we noticed on our logs. Now, if somebody brings in a personal device that has access to a data plan, or
we can't block
that. That's something we don't block. We don't monitor that, obviously.
Can we block it if they're on our Wi-Fi site?
On our Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Yeah. But you can't block in there.
And this was a student bringing their own device on our wireless network? Or no?
Not on our wireless network, no.
So it was on their own network?
A student with their own device on
on their own
4G.
Yep, exactly. And that's something we don't have control over. I mean, that's just beyond our scope at this point.
So, Mike, in your opinion, can a student happen upon this, or do they have to willfully get to us?
There's always a chance you can happen upon a site like that, but generally speaking, you're trying to find a site like that, would be my opinion.
Do we have a... Do we have an internet policy?
We do.
That's
very robust. That came through press,
right.
And actually, our
right.
Yeah. So it's very robust.
Is Twitter blocked
for students? No, I don't believe so. I have to double check.
You should probably take a look at that one, because Twitter, you have the ability to go to certain people that have certain stuff. But same thing.
Thank you.
Somebody's profiles aren't always the nicest out there with some pictures that aren't always the best.
I know there was some conversation about children bringing in their own iPad, especially if there was an IEP involved and so they had things loaded. So are we doing that, but they're on a Wi-Fi?
Well, IEPs are usually very different. An IEP, generally speaking, the district provides the hardware and the software, and it's regulated and monitored just like any other piece of hardware.
Right. In this case, there was a parent that had approached me about the opportunity for their child to bring an iPad in because of the tools, the apps that are on it.
Sure.
There's still
an opportunity that's available. But those also would be on our local Wi-Fi. We don't have...
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Safety-wise, Mike, you feel like we're meeting and exceeding industry standards for our firewall and beyond?
We're doing the very best we can to do just that, yes.
Board members, any other?
This is Intel's, we go through Intel, basically.
Yes.
Right? And they do they do their proactive monitoring, they update.
They update.
And then they
part
give us, right?
Part of the service is on the water.
And I mean, I'm going to assume that's pretty robust and industry standard, but we don't, we ask them to test it, or I mean, they assume they run their own tests. Do they try to get out there to find pornography, or do they do things like that?
Well, yeah, they're out there looking at that and evaluating the new sites that come out, and then they're the ones that categorize those sites. And when we get those downloads to update the firewall, those are the sites that are included in those updates, either to be blocked or to be allowed.
Was the access done in the classroom during classroom time, or was it at some other time?
Yeah, I don't know that much about the details.
So I'm just thinking, is there something that the classroom staff can be more proactive?
And that's something that we'll be addressing as well, making sure that we're addressing these pieces and being proactive, monitoring. But it truly is a... This one's a real piece where we've got parents, teachers, students all on board. I mean, this is going to be a real hard piece just for schools to solve by ourselves, because these are hard conversations that need to be occurring at home. Because if these things are occurring, if kids are willfully looking for these, we can do our piece, but we've got to have the community helping as well, having these same hard conversations around the internet, around it, for all of our students. What's occurring? What's there? But absolutely, we absolutely own our piece in the school day. We've got to continue to monitor. It's a big challenge, but I think it's one that we're up for. I believe our internet and what Mike said is absolutely accurate, that they're ensuring a safe internet environment for our students. Our teachers are always on a proactive approach within the classrooms, monitoring the classroom. But I can't make everything perfect. It's just not going to be perfect. We're going to have situations that will occur at times. But I would say this is the first time, one incident, and I don't know how many times we access the internet on a daily basis, Mike. I mean, thousands of times that we have connectivity to the internet on a daily basis.
But for clarity's sake, Paul, let's just everybody understand, this wasn't our network and it wasn't our device that was breached. This was our technology is working, our device security is working. This was third-party data network.
So that was the majority of it. There was one piece where it was our...
Oh.
There was a small piece that came through on ours, and that's why I think Sam asked that question.
That was after further research, after this
yes.
one incident.
When they went back to
the yes.
Okay.
Yes, I appreciate the clarification. So I'm not saying it can't ever happen, but I'm saying we put in a lot of precautions and safeguards to ensure that it doesn't. Again, there was somebody who was willfully trying to access this website, did get around it. We blocked it. I feel like we continue to get better. I support our teachers and the work they're doing within the classrooms, and our administrators who are having those hard conversations as well.
I just, Mike, just look at Twitter, because it's
yeah, that's
a
good
back door into some pretty goofy stuff.
That's good. Anything else on internet safety?
Just on the supervision. I mean, anything we could have done better?
You know, I'm not in there, but when you're talking a minute, 2 minutes, that's going to be a hard piece. Teachers are a small group. Teachers are a large group. Just depends on how quickly it happens. Generally speaking, in that age group, we hear about it fairly quickly because kids talk. In that age group, you got giggling, you've got other things going on, and we end up hearing about it generally through that source. So it's hard when for a sustained amount of time. You know, if somebody were on it 8, 15, 20 minutes, absolutely. But when they're accessing it for a short amount of time, it does make it more challenging for our teachers. I'm not giving any excuses to our teachers, but I've been in their classrooms. I see our teachers monitoring our classrooms pretty vigilantly.
Not to dive, Paul, but do you feel like the conversation that the principal and AP had with the parents was, you know, that there was accountability there?
Absolutely. From everything I've heard, parents involved, absolutely mortified, taking whatever steps they need to take to correct the situation and to work with their students in a learning situation. Support them, learn, move on. Absolutely. I heard that from Mary. I heard that from Megan, that the parents were fantastic in their support of the district and in support of the work going forward. You know, one of the pieces with our new Gmail, those emails come out from my email address. So when we sent that at 4:30 on Friday night, I was like, oh boy, here we go. It's going to be an interesting weekend for Paul because I'm just going to get all these replies. And beyond the auto replies, edit it, quickly delete. I was really impressed with our community, how supportive they were, and saying thank you, one, for the communication, always being transparent with us. You know, one parent said, you didn't have to tell the whole district, but you did, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you being upfront about it. Not one parent was saying, you know, fire this person, do that person. They understood where we're at, always hoping for the most, the safest environment possible for their kids, and that's the same thing we are, but very supportive, very supportive. So I appreciate that. Any other? All right, community listening session. Last Wednesday evening, we had roughly 25 people attend where they were working from three different sections around community engagement, finance and facilities, and 21st century learning for our students, all framed around our learner characteristics. I thought it was a fantastic evening of good conversations where people came together to put their ideas on the table and have conversations with each other around priorities. And some of the, there was one group, we barely kicked it off and they were already going at it. They were already having conversations about the finance and facilities. And it was, I think it was good for community members to be able to hear the different viewpoints. Because at times we hear, I speak for the community, but I don't know if that's always the case. It could be in a smaller sense, but in the larger sense, I think this was a small opportunity. Again, it was only 25 people, but I really appreciate the 25 who came out and had these incredible conversations about education from a finance side of things, from an engagement side of things, and from a learning side of things. And they were able to bring forward recommendations to myself and to Julie on ideas that they would like us to have further conversation on. I'm able to connect the engagement team with Hadley, where they're working on a PBL around 5th to 6th grade transition, and that's a talk that they were talking about, and the parents were really engaged in saying, we've got to keep bringing greater transition conversations to the table because these are important for our 5th to 6th grade. So one of our teachers was working on that same exact thing where I believe her 8th grade students were talking about that as well. So we're going to connect those two groups and bring something very different to the table. From a finance side of things, the conversation at times was very heated around looking at big picture, looking at small picture. But at the end, they were able to share a few laughs. And see at least see each other's perspectives. I don't know if the groups believe in where the other side is at, but at least they had an opportunity to talk it out and to share a few themes. The 21st century learning piece, again, another fantastic conversation across the board. One group was really focused on the idea that we've got to see rigor. We've got to see more rigor. We've got to hold kids accountable to struggle, to really mess with those questions, mess with learning a little bit. The other group talking more from that technology side of things, thinking about how often are kids in front of technology, when are they in front of technology, having those types of conversations I thought were very beneficial to the district. We're going to have our second community session on May 3rd from 8 to 10:30. I'm hopeful we'll be able to have even more people out. Currently, I think we're around 12, 13 people. I get that it's a Saturday. But I think for the community members who are there, I think it was a positive event. They had an opportunity to really talk things through. But I took it as a very positive move forward in our district, trying to engage our community on these topics.
What was the breakdown, Paul, of community members? I was trying to get a sense of Patrick, you were there, right? Joe, Dean,
yep.
Drew. And Drew. Okay, so we were all at that one. To get a sense of the community members who don't have children in our schools right now versus folks who are parents there. I mean, there's
some Julie, could you help me with that one a little bit?
You know, I can't say precisely, but we did have representatives there from the chamber, from the League of Women Voters, the Park District, from the Public Library. We had people whose kids have graduated out of our grandmother there. So, I didn't know everybody's circumstances who came, but we did have a number who were not our own.
Right. Well, that was my sense, that as I was trying to get around and you know meet some people before we started. There's one takeaway out of the engagement table, and it was actually, and we know that it's gone to Paul from a current parent, a young parent. Her, I think, son is a kindergartner. And it's around some kind of follow-up tool, you know, group that could call us to meet to meet more consistently. I don't know, be quarterly or whatever it might be, but it's to have a deeper understanding and knowledge about the district, to understand what's going on, to be in some ways more conscious of the district and, you know, finances certainly, but also what's happening in terms of the academics. And I know that there was a gentleman who came and approached you when I was up in Shelby at the same time. So, you know, people reaching out to want to connect, so it's incumbent upon us to do that outreach back. So we'll see what happens on Saturday, and then maybe we can have some further discussion. But I think that that's can only be a good thing, to have folks from all different kind of walks of our community have a deeper understanding of what's going on here.
Absolutely.
How many new faces were there?
There were quite, I mean, from my perspective, from being a new guy.
I mean, there were board members there. I mean,
yeah.
Quite a few. That's why I asked the question. I mean, I would think, I mean, I know some of them from associations like the League and that type of thing, but, and there's a woman who came in that I walked in with from the parking lot, and she introduced herself and I myself, and she was just there. She said, I saw this and I thought it was fascinating. I haven't had kids in the district in years, but I felt like it was time for me to, you know, have a touch point, you know, get back involved. So, you know, that I think those were some of the reasons for folks who came. We have some folks who are here. Stephanie was here. Mr. Cooper was here. He's gone. There were a few other people there. But, you know, I would say some good interest outside of the normal connection. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm interested in connecting with, is to hear some.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good start, but, you know, 25 people and 12 people. Just got to figure out how to get more engagement, you know, or other ways of getting engagement.
Well, that's why I want to explore this group that maybe becomes an offshoot, because then they're, you know, then they outreach to that next level.
Yeah, that's something that I was going to speak to Julie about personally, but it's, you know, one, we should probably send an email or a letter, a personal letter from Paul or Sam or something, thanking leaders that spent their evening to come. I mean, that's a thankful. And then keep their names in a card file, because those are the people that I think are enthusiastic and are engaged in, okay, these are people that we want to reach out to have bounce ideas off of. You know, we have a group of people who are, hey, I'll step up to the plate and go to spend 90 minutes with people I don't know about a topic that maybe I'm not interested in because I don't have kids, but I'm still interested in the community. So I think you're right, John. We gotta keep moving that forward. But I think we got a real good start here of 25 people that may have raised their hand a little bit that says, "Hey, keep me informed because I may help you."
Yeah. And a portion of those who have not been connected for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd echo the idea about being a good start. I don't think we get to check the box yet. You know, it's going to be a long time before we get to check the box that we have community involvement. I think that there is a... some people came with the idea of we're going to get to talk about whatever we want to talk about, so there's probably still some need to do that, because this was very pointed. We gave out topics to try to keep people online. I will say, if we didn't give out topics from the start of some of the table talk, we probably wouldn't have gotten anywhere. So given a topic makes people bring their point of view to the topic, as opposed to them owning a topic and just deciding, this is my problem, this is what we're going to talk about for the next 45 minutes. So that was good, but we still probably need to do more in that area. I was pleasantly surprised at the differences of opinions, that there were people who were very passionate about one thing, and someone else who said, I completely disagree with everything you just said. So it kind of gives an understanding that these are tough situations and tough problems, and they come from both sides. And then the other thing I'd say is the people who came, they gave up their night, so they were a little bit passionate about this. And it was nice to see that, but we certainly need to go a lot further. I was very happy to see the people who came who didn't have kids in the district, mm-hmm. because we are challenged with that. Everybody with kids in the district get all these emails. They have interest because their kid comes home and tells them what's going on, and we all know that the majority of people who are in the district don't have children in the district. So,
Julie, can we follow up on Dean's point? Because they, to the people on the email that did come that night, asked them, how did you hear about that? And maybe that's okay. Maybe.
That'd be a great idea. Yeah. That'd be a great idea, because I have no idea how we got them, but we did.
I can probably answer most of that, Julie.
Well, yeah.
Let's be real honest here.
No, was it?
Julie reached out to number of these people.
And the organization.
Outside.
I mean, so went to the, you know, different organizations to pull people in. But we need to do more of that.
Yeah.
Well, we have
Okay. And I will tell you personally, I went after probably a group of 15 to 20 people that I knew and said, look, you have opinions. Why don't you bring the opinions and come to this evening? And these are sometimes close friends or associates or whatever. It was very hard to get any of them to come. And the reason is they said, it's all going fine. And I said, not everybody thinks that, and you may not know all the problems that we're trying to deal with. It isn't going as fine as you think. And they all said, no, it's going fine. I agree with everything you guys are doing. Well, you don't even know what we're doing. So we want you to come out so you see
come
what we're doing, see if you still agree or tell us we need an adjustment. But it was hard to get people, even people that I thought would be interested in coming, to come, because they're like, what night is that? You know, and you tell them 3 weeks ahead of time. So it's going to be a lot of work to get more people involved in the community. Obviously, if someone's passionate about something, if they don't like something that's going on in the district, or if they do like something that's going on in the district, those are easy people to get there. But if we're going to be representative, we've got to get more people with varied opinions. So that's
why I think there has to be some hook into what's in it for me. And I think part of that is folks that have any interest to be invited and engaged to have ongoing conversation is that outreach. I'm thinking back to when we redid the mission statement. That was in 07, I think it was, right? And that was a big outreach, and there was a goal of having, you know, I think a minimum of 75 people who committed to 3 days. So it was three, like, long evenings. 4 hours, wasn't it? 3-4 hours?
A lot of intentional
activity around that. In fact, there's a board member who ran and was elected as a result of coming to that. But we had a great turnout for that, and I think it was because it was a defined opportunity. Folks knew that they had to commit, and there was a beginning and an end to it. So I think that some way to engage and have ongoing insight and learn more about this place. You know, and Paul, you've used this term, but Dr. Larson in 87, he refers to the schools in Glenbard as community assets, and I think that's really true. There's a lot that goes on in our schools outside of the learning day, and so how do we get folks to understand that? So,
and you're reminding me of something. One more thing was there were some new people who had transferred in from other places who hadn't been here very long.
Yeah.
It was wonderful
to
get opinions of people who were new who said, I've been here 6 months or so, let me tell you what I see.
Yeah.
And to get that feedback, because for people who have been in Glen Ellyn a long time and put their kids through the school, it's interesting to see what other people are doing and what their opinions are. So
and Paul, I don't know how you're going to close the loop with these comments and questions that these people came up with, but I did hear probably twice, from a new person and one from somebody who's active in the community, that they heard, well, because they were talking to friends, you know, I'm going to this, why don't you come with me? And they said, well, why? Because we've done this before and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. So, again, getting on the right foot of this was what was talked about thematically or an issue, like
yep.
the engagement conversations, published somewhere, e-news, your commentaries or whatever, mm-hmm. and this is what we've done. We've engaged that team with the teacher team. So they see, oh, wow, they did listen. They took action, and there's going to be a next step. So
we do plan to do that after our May 1, get the second group done. I also want to recognize Mrs. Clark, and others who also participate here all the time, but they also chose to participate in that piece as well, because it's good to have that also that consistency. If there's nothing else, I mean, Ms. Clark is very consistent on her messaging and everything else, and I think that's an important piece that they have that. They continue to bring that voice to this table and allowing that voice to be heard at the table as well. So although we had some new voices to it, we also had some voices that have been with the community and that we've heard from, but I think it's important to have those groups coming together and having those conversations. Mr. Cooper was there as well. He's always here for at least the first 3 minutes, but it's important to get those viewpoints across and to hear from everyone. So I appreciate it. I really do. This is one that Mr. Cooper won't be happy with me. We continue to work with problem-based learning. We continue to engage teachers. We continue to have conversations with our teachers or administrators around problem-based learning. And this is not something new. This is something that the district has been talking about for a couple years now. How do we move problem-based learning forward? And that's a piece that we're doing right now. We brought in roughly 70 educators on 2 days to have conversations, real deep conversations on problem-based learning. What does that look like? How does that engage students? When I look to that survey that was presented a few board meetings ago, and I see engagement as an issue at all of our schools, how do we continue to engage our students? What is it we're doing with that work? And I really believe in problem-based learning. It's not project-based learning, it is problem-based, and how do we continue to work with our staff so everyone understands that vision, that direction we're going. That's a piece we're working on with a team of teachers. We had a meeting this evening. We're really laying out those action plans for next steps. Karen, myself, PD teams involved, but a group of teachers who really want to have their voices heard on this are standing right next to us as we continue to our next steps around problem-based learning. And what does that look like in the classroom setting? I'm excited about it. I know Karen and our teachers are as well. The feedback from Tuesday and Wednesday was phenomenal. Teachers going back to the classroom saying, this is good. This is really good, getting the next group of teachers really excited. And there will be an opportunity for all of our teachers to participate in some very in-depth training. I've through the survey, that's a piece that I've heard, ensure that we have a direction, ensure we stay with the direction, and ensure that I have the professional development to make me, to allow me as a teacher or as a principal to be as effective with our kids as possible. That's a plan that they're going to be seeing in the coming weeks, and we're going to be working with them in the coming months and years ahead around problem-based learning.
Is it K through 8?
It is K through 8. We work directly with Hadley as well, because I know that's been a piece in the past where it feels like at times we're an elementary district, and then Hadley's like, yeah, you know, Hadley's over there. No, Hadley's right there with us. They're working with us. They had a presentation with their staff. Steve, I'm trying to think, last Tuesday when you presented to your staff in the morning, Tuesday or Wednesday, presented to the whole staff. So this is a district-wide piece, and it's not anything new. And that's something that I really want to reiterate. These are conversations that have been going on for the prior 2 years. We're bringing, I think, a really clear framework to the conversation that I think is missing. So those are our next steps. Any other questions? All right. Learning together at Churchill. Churchill has added in a new tutoring program after school. I've been over there a few times. It's fantastic opportunity for our students to be peer tutored. The gains we're seeing right now, what we're seeing is their leadership. These are kids who oftentimes aren't picked for anything, and I'm talking about the tutors. And these are kids who, when they were selected by Scott and the team, they're like, "What? I'm a tutor?" To the point where one young man went home the night before he was going to be meeting with his, in what they're called his two T's. I didn't come up with the term, but I think I hopefully come up with something a little different. He was so excited. Night before, he lays out all his clothes. He's got a tie. He's got a jacket. He's ready to rock and roll because he's going to be working with somebody else that he knows he's responsible for. So we've seen it in action. Linda was over there the other night. Wow. In the short amount of time, because they started talking about it in January, got it implemented after school, mid-late February, and where it's at today, they're already bringing other districts over to see it this early in the implementation phase. When adults are talking to the students are the first ones to say, this is why I joined. This is why I want to participate, because I'm able to help a student. And it really makes me feel good about helping a student. The two T's are reading. They're comprehending. They too are feeling more a part of the school. One of the young ladies, I think she was a third grader. It was the first time ever that a fifth grader recognized me in the hallway. And now we're friends. Huge piece to this kid's life that a fifth grader, you know, who are the coolest kids in the entire world within the elementary setting, had an opportunity to engage with these third graders. So it's making a difference. It's about 65 students who are having this opportunity, paid through title funds for Churchill. It's a research-based program that has shown dramatic results, and we already saw some of those pieces through leadership, through confidence, through kids feeling like they can learn and they can make a difference with a little additional support.
I was over there this afternoon because I was at Churchill this afternoon. And so I stayed with Ms. Cortez's room, and she's in fourth grade. So there, I think, were six of her students who were a part of this. And she reiterated, so I asked her to kind of explain it to me before I kind of went to process. And she did say that the group of leaders, her tutors now, are in that kind of 40th percentile who aren't, you know, kind of in one mix or the other, but kind of in that center, and were chosen specifically for this. So she also told me that, and Ms. Steinhilber as well, the other one of the other coordinators, I guess they call them, for the grant, have seen their tutors, so the children in fourth with second graders or fifth with third graders, their scores go up in their reading, because part of, and this is Ms. Cortez's words, significantly, because part of what they do is meet with one of the coordinators, go through the lesson for the day, and so there they've got, they know their thing, they have to write do say, so they know what their activity piece is, and then they're reiterating the activity with the student, but they are reinforcing it probably three times in the event time. There's also an agenda where they identify their warm-up conversation, so what do you want to be when you grow up, what did you do this weekend, you know, things like that, so it's that rapport building. But I had a chance to follow two students from Ms. Cortez's class, and then they met up with their second grader. You know, again, just observed it. They asked me if I would sit with them, which I did, and, you know, just observed it. But the thing that's compelling, I think, is that these are kids who, you can tell in a short amount of time. So this is what, April, so it's been two and a half months.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know a thing about what they were going to do, and now have complete ownership. So those are the kind of things I think that reinforce the you know, the school day in a way that they take ownership for and are able to, you know, scaffold down to the other children. Said the same thing, Catherine, the 2T, said to me, I see them in the hallway and they say hello.
Bruce Wade.
Me or whatever it is. But just all of that in terms of social emotional. The other thing I want to mention quickly from that also is they were talking about certain characteristics, and this was in a classroom where I saw this as well, and the kids went right to their learner characteristics wall. So I know that in Team 21 we've been talking a lot about that and how those have rolled out. But they went specifically to those to pull for characteristics either for this activity they were doing around fables or in this Learning Together program. So this reinforcement of what are the tools or resources we have, and let's reiterate how we use them. So very impressive, and you know, and that, and the teachers too feeling really proud of the kids and the work they're doing. So good, you know, cool program. What's going to happen with that? Because it's a grant.
It'll keep moving forward. Next year, because it comes through title funds. As long
so
as
we know we're going to get we'll,
there's a great chance we'll continue to get title funds for that, and that was a piece that Scott and his team felt like were really important to bring forward. I'd be remiss if I didn't address a comment, especially for such a large group. The budgeted items Mr. Cooper was talking about, those are within an outlined budget already that was approved by the board last year. There are funds within Karen's teaching and learning department budget. At times, I think individuals try to make it out like we're just willy-nilly grabbing budgets and making the budget go beyond what was approved by board members. I think when he mentioned Julie saying five, the original idea was for five people to go out. But I brought it to the board, and the board was very adamant of saying they wanted teachers. So, again, I think it's important to have context to those, because it's easy to come in here and say those things. But the reality is those are important pieces that were budgeted under Karen's budget, and that she believed this was an important piece within her budget, within the professional development side of her budget, that would allow for that. And it did fall under the $10,000. Once board members had a conversation here in public that allowed for me to move forward to say, yeah, I will bring additional teachers to that piece. So I just felt like it was important to address those budget concerns that Mr. Cooper has, and I appreciate him bringing them forward.
Well, one last thing on the Learning Together. I did ask, what's the follow-up? So is there a report that's filed, or I would be interested in seeing both the fifth grade and fourth grade cohort of tutors and how, you know, some of their scores have changed.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, you know, if they're looking at them currently, they have. But it would be good to have that as an output.
Yeah, once we have a year with those kids, we absolutely will.
Yeah.
All right, I'm finally done. Usually don't take that much time.
Mm-hmm.
So I've taken all that extra time that I've given away.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Board reports. Any individual board members have anything?
A couple of things. Amy presented for Team 21. Thank you. I was had to work, so I wasn't able to be at the meeting. But the next meeting is May 1st, and The work around that is going to be to look at 2013-14 and kind of output accomplishments from that. And then, you know, refocus on Team 21's intention as looking at creativity and innovation in the district, whether it's through teachers, professional development, whatever that might be, and refocus on that and really serving to support colleagues and how does Team 21 do that. So taking a step back, saying, let's re-identify what the mission is moving forward and setting some goals for 2014-15, which is a good thing. So that's the agenda for May. Just a quick update on this this legislation bill you all know that I've been working on. It made it through committee with some concerns from ISB, the Illinois State Board of Education, and just to bring people up to speed, there was conference for boards in November. They have a Role Solutions Committee, and the Resolutions Committee invites boards from around the state
to put in resolutions for the Illinois Association of School Boards. And so one that we put forward as a board that we partnered with District 203 in Naperville was around unfunded mandates. And those who work in education can appreciate, you know, how that there's a sucking sound anytime Springfield has another "what if we do this" conversation. So optimistic. What we're doing is we got it through committee, and then through the legislative process, it's on hold. And we're going to be working with, and I'd ask Bob if he would sit down with me, assistant superintendents for finance and facilities, who would be interested to look at creating what the district would want the legislature to have, so that as we look at mandates, legislation, bills, and what it's going to cost the district. So whether it's special education or transportation costs or more training around defibrillators or whatever it might be, that's all dollars that we don't get to actually do that work. So right now we're going to be working on, with a committee of calculating mandate costs. And once that's done, we'll come back to the table and then go back with our sponsor, Senator Conley and Representative Burke. So it's still in the mix. District 203, I'm still working with Kristen Fitzgerald, and so we're going to meet in Springfield in June and see if we can't move that forward to get it on the docket for next fall. So I mean, it's good work. Boards, you know, are broader based than all of our local concerns, so I think it's good to be doing that. And I think that's it. Oh, just quickly, so I was at Lincoln on Friday, and was able to get into the art class first with Mrs. Mack, and I won't attempt to say her last name either, it's a challenging one, who was lovely, and the kids were doing these things called Tonka poems. So one of the children asked me, "What, will you write one?" So I did over the weekend, and I emailed it back so that they would see my poem, and it was actually about their art class. Kelly Vale and her literacy class, and a little boy named Anders, who again invited me back to read his fantasy story once it's done. So we'll certainly try and do that. Amy Bishop in second grade in math, STEAM, and then Wendy Pacini music over there. So I sent them a thank you, and just I copied Linda and Paul on it. I said this in an email, and it was really, as we can build in time to do this for board members. What my interest is, and I think as Joe's been around and the rest of us who actually still have kids in the schools, it's really to see the classroom in action and the kind of the work that they do, the children, the activity, the, you know, just all the learning. So, you know, just walk away with a real sense of awe, you know, challenge, the commitment by staff members, teachers, and those assistants that are in the room, the aides, and just the level of interest on the kids, and just, you know, engagement. And just one quick story, Mrs. Bishop, you know, is a second grader, so they were doing a counting coins activity, had it up on the smart board, and she asked the question to the children, "Do you have any questions?" And it was about 10 questions before they actually, like, started the activity. And, you know, just observing this and watching the level of patience, the good questions that came from the kids that needed direction. And once they had all that, they all dispersed, got their partners, went up to the smart board, met with her, and I got co-opted into a math worksheet on subtraction, which was, in one case, a bit of a challenge for me. So just very good to be in the classroom. So thank you to all the principals. This afternoon at Churchill, same thing. I got to spend time in portable classrooms, with the quest to get rid of the portables, so I'm working on that in one case. And in another case, yeah, I'm okay out here. And then also spending time in Jen Cortez's room and then into the Learning Together program, also with Mrs. Cousins in music. So thanks for that, and really encourage that board members can make time to get around. Good stuff.
Okay, thanks. Drew, finance?
Hey, finance, actually there are two items that'll that will be on the discussion items from Karen, the engineering resource and the Everly bulk room resource. That's on the discussion items. We also talked about some changes to the budget and our and the tentative budget for the coming year. Again, this was kind of high level, and the next finance committee will go a little bit more in depth with some of the budget issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we all have the tentative budget. I know we all got out of that. And is it possible between as you plan your agenda for the next finance committee, maybe through Paul's update letter, just to highlight those areas that you guys are looking at, and that way we can, whatever they are,
I can do that. That way we can get
a little bit of a heads up. Because I want to make it to finance next time. Okay. Sorry, Joe. No. I know, I'm going to come. I couldn't come today. But yeah, I do want to come because I like to be in early in the conversation.
Okay.
But it might be helpful just high level since we have
the budget in front of us. All three of us have items that were of interest to us. So yeah. I think they can get funneled to Paul
yep. if you have them or whatever. That would be helpful.
That's so good.
We can do some work in between the two meetings.
No problem.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Can I are we in the other section? Because I'd like to talk about my school visit that Erica alluded to. Just you got one thing before we go ahead.
Let me get through these and then we can jump in. I have two quick things. I attended the Lincoln PTA meeting April 16th. Lots of things on the agenda there, but just a few things to highlight. A lot of club activity and a lot of interest in new clubs, robotics club, science club, battling book club, lots of interesting things here that kids and then staff have also agreed to create for next year. So that's always good to hear. Finalizing days for Olympic Day is always a big day at Lincoln, and the graduation and the picnic. So it's good that we have somewhat of a
clarity on the
calendar,
on the calendar to
be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they formalized their nominating committee for officers for the next year. So that committee will be looking for candidates, and the vote will be May 28th at the next PTA meeting. So any Lincoln parents out there who wish to participate in a officer level, contact the nominating committee. Okay, and I also attended the spring band concert. There were three of them this year. I went to the April 24th one, which was the Ben Franklin and Lincoln beginning band. That means fifth graders. The Hadley Monday Cadet Band and the Hadley Wednesday Cadet Band. And I think it's important to highlight two separate cadet bands because that means the participation mm-hmm. has gone up. And kudos to Mrs. Whelan, Ms. Lawrence, and Mr. DiPaolo. And they took a lot of time to thank a lot of people, but I think they should really be thanking themselves because the program has grown exponentially mm-hmm. Since they've been there. So, and I know there was two other performances, April 22nd, Churchill and Forest Glen, with another Hadley band, and then April 28th, two other Hadley bands. So there's five Hadley bands right there. So they do a great job over there. So kudos to them. Okay, I'm done. So now, other reports.
Okay, other reports. I'll go first. I'll make the last two. On April 17th, Paul, I asked to go and see the math menus in action. You had been talking about those mm-hmm. for some time at our board meeting, and I finally found some time to do that. I was able to go through several classrooms at Lincoln, and I've heard about them, talked about them, seen them in action. It was eye-opening. I learned a lot. I saw student engagement at a very high level. I saw students taking ownership. I saw in some classrooms differentiation amongst the students, and in some it was uniform across the classroom, so people were using it differently. I do have to say the classroom that I witnessed that had differentiation amongst certain, maybe about four or five groups, mm-hmm. I couldn't tell if it was four or five, it was right around there. That the engagement in that classroom was extraordinarily high. I too thank the teachers and Linda and Mrs. Stone for allowing me to go through that time. One thing I did recognize, I wanted to point out too, about Spanish. We got to witness, and I realized I lost all my Spanish that I learned.
Yeah, you and I both.
in the 5 minutes we were in there. But what was unique and experiencing, and this is being in the classroom in life, is important, as you've always stressed, something occurred to Paul and I as we're sitting there. The first grades have Spanish, so there's two. They share the Spanish teacher, so it's a half an hour long. But what happens with the other teacher while that teacher's class is in Spanish is very interesting. She moved into the class that we were in, watching, witnessing the math menu in action. So what you had in there is 20, 22 students, and you had two teachers in there. So it was, you know, teacher ratio, teacher-to-student ratio went down to 1 to 10, 1 to 11. And you saw it in action, how powerful that was. And I know, we, you know, having smaller classroom sizes is key. But going down to that level, it was pretty interesting to watch that. I mean, what you had going on was assessment by two teachers with their I don't know that they had Chromebooks yet, but their laptops. And it was very nice to see. And I didn't go there for that. I wanted to
go to the
math menu, but I got 5 minutes of Spanish, and then I got to witness that. So I really found it, you know, for me, it's just parachuting in. You're not getting there every day of every school day, but you're definitely getting a feel for it. And, and I thank you for setting that up for me.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other reports? Okay. Discussion items. We have quite a few this evening. The first one is 21st Century Initiatives recommendation.
So, began the year with a conversation with a group of parents talking about the 21st Century Initiative, specifically around multi-teacher specialization. And from that day of giving them my word that I would continue to listen, keep having an open mind on this topic as we move through the year, I believe that's exactly what we've done. We've spent time, I've spent time, Karen spent an enormous amount of time in classrooms, speaking with teachers, and looking at instruction. The survey results that have a mix, especially around multi-age, reading the comments from teachers, reading the comments from the community members about the 21st Century Initiatives, again, specifically around multi-age. I came to a recommendation late last week to delay the second year implementation for 2-3. Within that recommendation, so it would be a 4-year implementation instead of a 3-year implementation, but within that recommendation, and something that I've continued to hear from parents and teachers and others, is where's the hard data? And I think that's been a frustrating piece for many of the community members, for some of the teachers. But hard data is something that we will definitely be looking at. But it's not here right now. We have fall to winter map data. And it's showing that the fourth grade, the fourth, fifth grade multi-age is consistent from the last 5 years of that data being taken. But that's a real small piece of data. What we will be bringing forward to the board, if the board accepts my recommendation in 2 weeks on May 12th, will be an action plan that will include assessments. We will be looking at assessments from ISAT. We will be looking at fall to spring MAP assessments. We will look at fall to spring F&P data. But all those data points won't be coming to us until late spring, that is May. I will be bringing the board information at that time and in June, but quite honestly, we won't have ISAT back until July. I will give the board a full comprehensive report on all of those data pieces in that September time frame when we have them. So everyone hears exactly where we're at. The other piece that will be a part of our action plan is a professional development timeline. When, where, how to support our teachers as they go through this piece. As I've read, I spent a lot of hours reading the staff recommendations and the comments. And one of the pieces that came out were we're good with what you select, but stick with something, stay with it, support us with professional development, and be there all the way alongside. And that's what we'll have within our action plan, is that professional development. What does that look like? Somebody tonight mentioned looping. We're going to continue having conversations on that looping, but that needs to be a part of the action plan. All those details must be there for our educators to do this exceedingly well. There are a lot of positive pieces that came out of that. But as I looked over and as I worked with Karen and I truly bringing this recommendation forward together, is we felt like this was in the best interest of where we're at with the district. So our teachers have that leadership role that they feel like that this is a piece that they have absolute control, and they're able to work with us to move this recommendation forward. So I'm feeling good about that. But for next year, it would be this year's structure. You would have 4-5. You would have the teacher specialization. You would not. We would not add in 2-3 for this year, multi-age 2-3. Mm-hmm. Just trying to look over my notes real quick. When we're looking back at the some of the pieces that were asked of the team last year, last spring, this year, around fidelity. They did the fidelity check. I really feel like we did pretty much say what we did going forward was what we did. One of the pieces that came out of that were our grade level bands. Again, they may have been a little wider than we would have wanted, but we had like learners, and I think that was really important. That's one of those important things. So we're going to continue looking at those bands. How do we continue to tighten those bands and ensure that the classes have those bands? Because that's important to me. But it's also really important to have those like learners in the classroom. The other piece was the satisfaction. I think we did that, followed through with a satisfaction survey that over... I believe it was 90% of our staff members, our teachers, were able to take that assessment, give us feedback. We had over 1,000 parents take that survey to talk to us about more than just that. But in this instance, we're talking about multi-agent teacher specialization. Took that data point in. And then impact. I know I've heard from many community members and others saying, where are the results? We've got to ensure that we truly look at the results and not just taking little slices of what we want. The map data is not appropriate from fall to winter as our only. So we're going to have to be looking at the assessment data, as I indicated, where you're going to be looking at ISAT, MAP, FNP, all within the fall of the following year. Those data points will be coming to you as well. I feel like this respects the direction of what we're doing, respects the decision the board made last year as we continue to move our district forward. The last piece I would say on this, I believe everybody has the best interest at heart for our district. That's what we've got to keep coming back together around, is what's in the best interest of our kids, and keep that moving forward. And I believe this recommendation continues to move that vision forward, that we have an amazing district for all students.
So, Paul, just to go back to frame it a little bit, when this was approved, I went back and looked through my notes of when the initial recommendation was approved, and it was in three phases. Mm-hmm. And phase one is essentially this year with what is happening this year. Phase two would have added the multi-age in literacy for 2-3 next year, and then phase three would have added the multi-age for the STEAM in levels 2 and 3.
Correct.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, phase one will continue next year, 2014-15, and then phase two will be year three. Phase three will be year four.
Correct.
So there's no other changes to the original recommendation than extending phase one an extra year.
Correct.
And okay.
No, good. Thanks for the clarification.
The evaluation piece, And I know you don't have that tonight, and I'm not, I didn't expect you to, and I'm not sure anybody else did either, but is there going to be a specific timeline as to the evaluation piece? Are we going to evaluate it in December? Are we going to, you know, is there something in mind there? Or
yeah,
are we still
working on it? No, we would have it, but I didn't want to jump ahead of the board and bring that piece here to tonight and assume that you're going to just recommend it. We would have a timeline for all those assessments. But what we have to remember, those assessments don't come in until late spring. I mean, that's just the reality of our assessment schedule in schools. They come in fall to spring. Those are the data points that I believe are most beneficial to us, and that's what's going to give better data to myself and others to make decisions going forward.
Well, we knew that too. Yes, yeah.
Well, that's what I was kind of going to say is that, so in your opinion, it would be a more complete, what kind of adjective you want to say, evaluation process with more data.
I believe so.
Because it will satisfy the impact section of the fidelity impact satisfaction.
Yeah, the impact is where we don't have a lot of data right now, and it's not because we're not trying to collect it. It's the time of the year we're collecting those pieces. So we would have that for you.
So would it be fair to say that your recommendation is, let's keep it how it is until we have better data to show us one way or the other? Is that a fair statement?
I think it's important to, you know, honor what the board brought forward last year and approved last year. But I do believe it's important to have some tools in place that can tell us where are we at. With any implementation, I think to give it a fair chance, you've got to give it 3 to 5 years. Or if we're going to keep just checking in on it every year and then either deciding thumbs up or thumbs down every year, I think that makes it really challenging. So I think the board really needs to be thoughtful about what is it we want? How long do we want this? What are those checkpoints? And when, if there was a point, would you make a decision other than that? But when you're putting in an initiative like this, you know, most would like to see 3 to 5 years. But for me, as I sit here today, I'm recommending a delay for the phase two, exactly how you said it, with a plan that we'll bring forward if board accepts the recommendation that we'll have a timeline, professional development, and assessment dates all attached to it.
Just for clarification, for the multi-age and the math and STEAM, are you going to bifurcate then what you plan on doing for level two and level three? Do level three in 2015-16 and then move level two 2016-2017.
Correct. Okay. It would be a 4-year now.
Right.
Plan.
But the math would be delayed for level three 1 year.
Correct.
Everything's getting delayed 1 year.
Correct.
So then you're basically from the with the previous board before that I was on in March of 13, you're bifurcating the step. It's the step three as presented, which
correct.
I understand. Just want to clarify.
No, I appreciate all the clarity.
Just some food for thought, and I'm happy to share these notes, but, you know, Paul had sent us in his update, so we knew the recommendation that was coming, so we would have a weekend to kind of look through things. And we had, I know the parent survey comments are posted.
They were posted tonight at 4:30.
Right, and I peeked through some of those prior to coming over, but was able to look at all the teachers, like the rest of us, comments. And I just want to share just a couple of thoughts because I think based on the survey that Bill Foster presented, I would have been surprised if we hadn't seen a lot of concern in different ways, different commentary around the multi-age. You know, fully expecting that. I think the thing that was interesting to me, maybe surprising, but interesting for sure, was some of the dichotomy between the questions for teachers, for staff around what are the things the district is doing right, and then the question around engagement and culture. Because I almost felt like that's where I felt like there was, for me, a split. And I reread just those sections so that I could, you know, be reading one and then, you know, look at the other one. And because under the comments around, you know, what is the district doing right, it's the best thing the district is doing is the way it's posed. Willingness to move forward, try new strategies like problem-based learning. Staff who are willing to face, you know, trying something new, being proactive, using resources that we haven't used before, that the district is willing to, get Common Core ahead of schedule and deal with it. You know, so this idea of this kind of forward thinking, and then under engagement and culture, all, you know, concerns around pace, implementation, PD, professional development, those pieces. So I would ask the other board members to satisfy some of what my read is, to go back and take a look at that so that we can see if you're reading the same thing. And then out of that, so what's the, you know, the good news of surveys, even though none are completely perfect, is that, and you said this, Patrick, there's certain buckets or themes. So these were mine. Out of the survey, teacher leaders, those who excel in their focus areas, being able to utilize that. There were a couple comments about having a mentor program, which I know the district has talked about before. But just the teachers as leaders, not only as teachers and facilitators of learning, but what does that mean? And teachers willing to step up and want to take on those roles. And then the other one, huge one, of course, is communication. Teacher with teacher communications, a little interested and surprised in some of the feedback on that amongst staff themselves. Teacher with principal communications, teacher with district administration communication, and then principal with district administration. So that kind of set in there. Another area that popped up, and again this was under engagement culture, was building culture, district culture, how one informs the other, one impacts the other, and you know, I've always felt like because we have what I would consider a small district, I mean, 3,660 students are a lot of kids. And, you know, we always talk about Hadley being a big junior high. But I guess this assumption, which are bad to make, that people really know each other and know what each other is doing, is the wrong assumption to make, because I think that fleshed out a little bit in terms of the culture. And then the last one is at-risk students. Intervention strategies, ELL, special education, trained personnel, all those pieces, and how we look to improve both student and teacher success with each other. So for me, those were four buckets. And so I would ask my fellow board members, as you've read through it, as you're reading through it, to affirm, confirm, look at that with that lens and tell me if you notice any of that, because I think that that, for me, sets some of the direction of some of the structure for next year as well. I'll look forward to reading in more detail all the parents, but from what I read through, it seems to support, you know, some of this as well. So just my read on it.
So Paul, I got a couple questions about your recommendations. Mm-hmm. So for clarity's sake, because I know it was brought up in public comments, to keep an open mind, and I think we are, but this isn't a... We're committed to this over the long run. Now, we would never do anything to jeopardize, you know, Scholastic's going down or anything. But we're committed to this. So next year, we're moving, you know, we're moving forward. I don't want there to, unless there's a really good reason to, but I don't want there to be a perception that, okay, they're going to look at this next year and we might be able to get this delayed another year. We're not doing that. We're committed to this. This was a result of however we got here, of misalignment or miscommunication or mistraining or whatever. We listened to, we read the survey results, we read the comments. It's your opinion as an administrator that we should take this pause, and we need to respect that. So we're going to do that. But we are still moving forward. There is action steps that we're going to take to make this move forward. This is a long-run decision that was made by previous board. We don't want to rehash all of that stuff, but we are moving forward on this type of teaching method.
That's the purpose of my action plan.
Right. In the spring, going to re-review this and say, unless it's fallen off its wheels, of course, are we going to continue doing multi-age? No, we are. going to move forward, and we're going to take the next step. Mm-hmm. We decided to pause.
Well, I mean, I take a little exception with that, because if it's a true evaluation, then maybe we won't. So it's
that's what I'm saying. I don't want to.
That's what we want to hear. That's I'm exactly with Patrick on this. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear a definite decision on what this year looks like, because we thought we had that last year, and we weren't even on the board when you made the decision, and you weren't even here when we made this decision to go forward. But the four of you were, and the four of you said, "Here's the plan," and there's much angst, and there's much turmoil. And it worked through, and people came out, and everybody studied it, and you made a decision. And the decision was a 3-year rollout. And what we're saying now is it's going to take more than 3 years. We get that. We get that. It's fine. What we're also saying in the same sentence, though, I heard you say, was we can't evaluate it until we give it 3 to 5 years. So if you expect it to be able to evaluate it in the next year, you're same where you are today, and you haven't even done it yet. You haven't done it. You can't evaluate something you haven't done. Mm-hmm. Because you do 4 or 5, if you're saying it's the same, then we should do 2, 3. We're saying they're different. We will never be able to evaluate 2, 3 until we do it. That's really the decision that we're hearing is. The other part is, you had said something about everybody has the best interest of the kids. Just in our listening tour, we found out that everybody does have the best interest of the kids. And some people disagree what that interest is. Mm-hmm. So we don't have agreement on it, but we can't put Paul and we can't put the administration and the teachers in limbo to say, well, what is that direction going to be? And let's see if we just fight a little harder, we can undo the direction, because that's our responsibility. They came forward with a recommendation, and we voted on that recommendation. And so that's where we're at. We haven't even done it yet. To stop now says that you're not going to do it. You're going to go back and undo what the previous board did, and I don't think we're ready to do that.
Or consider stopping in the spring. Again,
it falls off the rails,
it goes directly to what the teachers have said. Mm-hmm. Get a plan and stick with it. You know, we're with you. You give us the training, but stick with the plan and stop. Wishwashing, flip-flop. So, my other question is how are we preparing? We have a breather. We have a lag here. How are we going to prepare in your timeline? Is it also going to include the second and third grade teachers to say, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. That is the time.
That's the work.
That's the structure you talked about.
That's the work that we have.
Reinforcing 4 and 5. What's in?
Correct.
What they have and the 2 and 3. They need for. Okay, next year we need to change this a little bit, but also 2 and 3. In fall of 15, this is what you're going to be.
What you'll see in the action plan is the engagement with second and third grade teachers. Okay.
Do we, and you'll flesh this out, but I'm assuming there'll be collaborative teacher control as well as administrative control on this.
There'll be a lot of voices, and that's why the professional development team is going to be involved. Lori, working directly with her team that she works with, that she co-chairs, bringing those pieces together.
Let me state this a different way, more bluntly. Is there a teacher group or a teacher 3, 5, 7 representative that say, yeah, I'm with this. If you have any questions, give me a call, teacher. If you have any questions, give me a call, because I'm on board with this. Mm-hmm. I'm moving this forward.
I definitely think you've got teachers, as our survey showed, all across the board. Mm-hmm. Some who are great champions of the work, some who have great questions about the work, and some who are like, no way. So we absolutely have that. We definitely have advocates of this work. Again, I think that's what the data showed. You've got pretty much a third across the board who are looking at this work at times differently than the other two-thirds. So, yes, we definitely have a group that's advocating.
20% want to move forward now.
Mm-hmm.
Some, I won't say plurality, but 30%. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
And another 30-40% said no.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like polls, they can go one way or another.
They can.
So.
And I think it's important that we engage our teachers. and we have conversations with our teachers, and that's what, you know, Karen's so good at, bringing teachers in, having those conversations, and Lori saying, helping us craft that next path.
Oh, I want to really just say two things. Number one, I think it's important for our board to support you in what you want to do.
I appreciate that.
I think this has been a challenging year. There's been a lot of change. There's been a lot of different issues that you've had to work through, and I think I will support you, and I certainly would urge the rest of the board to do that. The second thing, my second point is, and I know that with any implementation, there's a lot of pieces that need to coalesce and come together. Mm-hmm. I would request that at the board level, you give us a monthly update in terms of how we are progressing, and this is not my idea, it's the dean's idea. I just
took a phone.
I grabbed it out first. But I think this is something that would be very helpful for the board to just to see the ongoing process.
Okay.
I agree. This allows us as a board that says in December, you're falling past this deadline. What priorities need to be taken off your desk to move you back online? Because this is going to happen the fall.
That's what you'll see in that timeline.
Yeah.
I think hold me accountable.
We see. I apologize.
No, you're good.
Something falls off the milestone. Okay. What's the priority? This is a very important priority. What do we have to take off yours and the mm-hmm. teachers and the administration's desks? So you're going to get back on track because this is going to happen.
And
that's
why
I think that monthly.
And we'll know that every month that right. something's not like
yeah.
working. We'll know sooner than later, so we're not at the last minute
right.
saying, oh.
And it's clear and it's transparent and
right.
everybody knows where we are on this,
absolutely.
This milestone journey.
Okay.
Well, you've been here for 10 months, so...
Time feels a little longer than that.
Yeah.
just being honest.
Yeah. So in some of the recommendation, what I read it also, and I concur with what Jura said, is that this is yours to own now.
Yes.
So I respect your your view of this and where you feel like it needs to go. You yeah. also brought from your previous job this very type of transition, so... that insight from you becomes really important this coming year.
Absolutely. I'll be there. Continue to lead it. Continue to give the updates, the timelines, those pieces that board members are looking for, the assessments. Absolutely.
Paul, I don't want to get into how you manage the schools, but maybe during the monthly update or a quarterly update from our principal so we can hear.
Absolutely.
How's that happening? what's your feedback?
I think that's a great idea.
Maybe the teachers.
Yeah. I mean, you're a good voice, but...
I'm good. You've seen that I can give my voice away and hand it off to others at times. So I'm absolutely fine with that.
So this is going to come...
This will come for action May
12th. Is it the 5th or the 14th?
So we have all kinds of dates. I had some issues last week or this week. So May 12th will be the date that they will be coming to the board.
So, this recommendation, you're seeking approval. I mean, is this something the board normally approves? The old board, the previous board?
Because it is a change.
Because it's a change.
In a practice.
So you vetted that with Todd?
I did. We spent a lot of time.
We are supposed to vote on this.
We are.
So when
yes.
Mr. Kenwood says Todd, he means Mr. Faulkner, the district.
Attorney.
Yep. District's attorney. Not
the
board.
Attorney. Yeah, the board's attorney.
He's been on the board as long as John.
Yes, but that was his absolute recommendation that this be brought down for a vote of the board on May 12th.
I guess to piggyback a little bit on Patrick's comments, you know, I mean, I agree with the recommendation at this point, and I think, and I appreciate that you can say, okay, let's pause, right? You know, I blame myself as a part of the problem here, but a lot of what you're saying, we committed to the community last time on this. And you know, we said that, you know, we would have an assessment timeline, and we would talk about it and monitor it. I know I've asked, you know, how are we doing, and it's been positive, and that didn't come through. So, you know, we as a board have to stick to making sure we have an assessment timeline, because last time we said we would, and we didn't. I mean, you know, we're hearing on April 28th, we don't have enough hard data.
And I would say I'm not sure. I mean, there's no way I can make up data for you.
No, I mean, there's no way I can bring you data unless it's hard data.
Right. That's the only thing that I feel good about is bringing you ISAT, MAP, FNP from fall to spring. That's the only data that I would feel
good about. What I'm saying is when we voted on this, we said that we would, you know, look at the data over the course of the time, and now we're realizing, and that why it's a good thing to stop, or to pause, whatever. Realizing the data is not there to make the decisions, right? And, you know, it's April 28th. And I know if I were, I know that I, at least I felt I made a commitment as a board member that we would be looking at data. And, you know, we're realizing, well, we're not going to look at data. You know, and that's, you know, that's partly my fault. I mean, I ask, and we also said that we would have a professional development timeline that we would be doing that, right? And so I'm just, you know, reiterate, it's a lesson learned or whatever, but as a board, you know, Patrick, I'm trying to tee off a little bit on, you know, we said we'd have a plan, we have milestones, we'd get updates around these things, and we just have to make sure that we see that, because I don't want to go another year.
No, and I would gently push back from the standpoint, myself, Karen, and others were giving you updates, but they're conversations with teachers, they're conversations in listening sessions. People may disagree with it, but I was in those classrooms listening, talking to people, listening to parents, and I was giving you feedback on those pieces, but what has been missing is a fall to spring data. That's what everybody wants, and I can't magically produce that for anybody.
I don't think anybody's asking you to.
I know, but the pushback is that you're disappointed with administration that we've been maybe not bringing you the most accurate data, and I would say we've been bringing you very accurate data. When I would sit and say, you know what, Franklin, the listening tour didn't go well.
Let me rephrase.
Okay.
Sure. I didn't say you're not bringing us accurate data.
Okay.
No.
I don't think I said that.
Okay.
What I said is we made a commitment to the community when we voted on this that we would be looking at hard data along the way. Right? And that we would be making these assessments and that we'd be reporting out on it. And the way I feel now is we're saying, which is, you know, if it's the right thing, I don't want you to make up data.
No.
Right? I never said either of those two things. What I said was I felt we made those commitments. We're finding out now that it doesn't exist. So moving forward, we have to make sure that our plan can show us when we're going to get the hard data. And the other thing maybe to consider is there'll be a new board. Depending on your timeline, there's either going to be a new board or you're going to work to get this hard data before the new board so that you're not bringing on, I don't know how many new board members, there's going to be three or four new people on trying to assess all this stuff, right? So your assessment timeline and your professional development timeline may need to support that there's a, you know, sometime in March where there's a whole, you know, there's a new leadership.
And that's the hard part with, again, we're getting ourselves back into March is not what, that's what set this piece up for, at times, struggles, is because of everybody's expectation that we have data in January.
Can I interrupt about
Please.
The data thing? Because we're caught in the data. I want to make sure we're defining things the same on the board. There's eight people up here, right? So if you haven't rolled something out, you can't assess the students. We can all agree, if you haven't rolled something out and tested it for a while, you cannot assess the students. So there won't be any assessment data. You don't owe us any assessment data for students if we haven't rolled it out yet.
Well, there
for 2-3.
There will be.
But at 2-3, we won't.
Year.
But 2-3, we won't.
No.
Because we haven't rolled it out yet. Of course. What I want an assessment for is teacher readiness. I want to make sure that if there are teachers who absolutely disagree with this and think it's the worst thing in the world, that there's a plan to either see if you can get them on board or make sure that they understand this is the new reality. And that's different than trying to assess something you haven't rolled out yet. We have to implement it before we can assess the results. Mm-hmm. We agreed it would take 3 years to implement it. Now it's going to take 4. Until you get it implemented, you can't possibly test to see if it works. You can't. You can make all kinds of guesses, and we have a lot of people making guesses, and we have everybody grabbing their experts if they want. That was done last year. You had 18 months of that before you were here, before we were on the board, of that turmoil and that direction setting, and that direction has been set. Now what we have to do is implement it, and that's what I would like to see in this update. Not you finding data that doesn't exist. We could never do that to you. What I'd like to see is, how are we doing? The teacher said they need more time to plan. What's the plan for the planning? Where are they at along that? Do they feel like they have the support that they need? If they don't, how are we going to get them the support? Where is the curriculum at? Then we launch it. And then we do it for a year or two, and then we can assess the results. But until you get there, you can't possibly assess it.
Yeah, is anybody asking for data that doesn't exist?
No, but I think it's a definition of assessment. I want to make sure everybody here is the same thing.
You can't assess students.
You can't assess students that haven't been through the program. You can assess 4 or 5 next year and see how it's going. You can't even get some of the data until July. There's no way that's even there, and it's year one. So you wouldn't make a decision after year one to stop something unless it was falling off a cliff. Right now it looks like things might be equal. If so, it means keep going. You know, it's only because that's the direction you set. You can't keep coming back and fighting the same battles that we fought before. We need to move on. And on that note, and this is maybe something for the other board members, we get a lot of emails about this stuff. And so before the survey, I received, and you did too, many different emails and different topics. One particular topic was the survey is no good, it's not going to have any credibility. Then we get the results from the survey, and we get the same people coming back saying, now you must follow the survey, you must do exactly as it is. I'm sorry, either the survey isn't any good or it is good, but either you were right once and wrong once, and I don't know which one is which. So everybody's got an opinion. We got a big job to do. We need to start to set the direction. We need to all pull together, and we've already set that direction. Now it's a matter of implementing it, and we'd be a lot better off spending the time implementing it than fighting the battle that we fought last year. And we got to get off fighting the battles. And we got to take you out of fighting the battles, and we got to take the teachers out of fighting the battles, and the parents need to quit fighting the battles. This is where the curriculum is going to go, and this is what we decide. And that's the way it's going to go.
No, we don't.
I'd ask you to refrain from...
I didn't say what's best for your kids. I never even said that word, what's best for your kids.
Dean, don't. No.
John, just one quick thing on your comment, and it was last year that I think this is important. When we approved the roll forward, one of the things, and Karen, you talked about this, was the reality check on we're going to have some measured data points, which is our fall map, and then winter. But we're not going to have the compilation district assessments, actually, too. We talked about that. But you're right that we had that reality check, although it probably needed to be reinforced some more, that we weren't going to have that piece in place because there needs to be a second and third year. And you talked about this, actually, Paul, at 1.2. So... You're right, John. We talked about that. We were given that reality check as a board around what does it mean to have data that you can trend, that you can look at and then use as a forecasting tool. But what I'm hopeful for is some of what Dean has asked for, which is the readiness piece as an indicator, but then also the structure around the timeline. Because a lot of what is in the comments for teachers under engagement versus what does the district do well, we're moving forward, this is a good thing, we know we need more rigor, etc. But it's that piece of the structure for them. So that would be important.
And John, I do get what you're saying, so I appreciate you pushing back on me on that piece, so I appreciate that.
Well, I might be alone in my thinking, but
I'm also pleased that we're taking a pause and being true to the actual evaluation, which I think we can all agree was probably not set forth in a reasonable way, because we can't, as Paul said over and over, the impact portion, there is no student data in a realistic timeline. So I'm encouraged with Paul's recommendation. I'm also encouraged that Paul is going to set a realistic evaluation timeline. And I think that will help us in an evaluation. I may be on my own, but I think you have to be true to the evaluation. And if at some point the data says it's not working, or if the staff is still at a point of we're just not there, we just don't see it, I think it would be irresponsible, and again, it's just me, but I think it would be irresponsible just to go ahead and say, well, we're doing it anyway. So I'm encouraged with where we're going, and I want to see what the data will be, and I think the data will educate our decision. And I think to say tonight or at the next meeting that, okay, we'll take a year off, but we're going ahead, I think that's partly irresponsible, because I think we need to be informed by what the data really says. And if the data is what, you know, if it's positive data, great, let's go. If it's negative data, obviously, we got to do something different. The problem is going to be if it's marginal data. If it's, well, I don't know, maybe it's 50-50, you know, if the 2-3 teachers are still not sure, then that's going to be interesting.
Just a clarification. When you say data, are you talking about readiness data, or are you talking about comparing the MAP scores from the fall to the spring for the 4th and 5th graders?
I think both.
Okay.
I think the readiness is an important piece of this, too.
I think the readiness.
Because I think last year a lot of people felt we weren't ready.
Well, then, if that's the case, then we better ask Paul to set up targets or goals that he wants to receive, that he wants to reach by April, July, whatever the date is. Because I don't want to be up here subjectively saying, I think it's good, and I heard a teacher say this, and a survey says this, and it's 17%, and wow, that's only less than a quarter. If that's the case, and we're taking our long-term strategy to I don't want to use the wrong term, but lack of courage and leadership to move forward, but we're basing it on marginal data, just short-term thinking in my view. Then let's set, Paul, come up with guidelines. So in April, it's we hit 3 out of 5, we're going forward. We hit 2 out of 5, we're done, and conversation's over. The vision is dead.
Well,
I'm not sure. If you put subjectivity to it, we're never going to get it.
We're never getting anything done.
But I think that's the ownership that Paul has. That's, you know, this is yours now. And you came in with experience opening two K-8 schools, right? Low performing. You were able to flip those around. And so we know that you bring the acumen. And we also know, just to reiterate, that the think tank worked for more than 18 months on this, and it was certainly research-based, a ton of work. We had our homework to do as board members. And so, you know, a piece of that is going back to that original set of research and intention, and being able to now move where we are now with, you know, where this group of teachers are and in those different places, and saying, here's the plan for next year. What I want to see is teachers now, you know, having that engagement and voice in it, and, you know, being willing to stand up and say, you know, for me to get this and to get through my pain points, I got to get on board. I got to figure this out. Right? So that's the energy around it. So 2 weeks, right? And the 12th, because the date on the
12th.
Agenda is the 14th.
May 12th.
So this will come back for action.
For action on May 12th.
May 12th.
Yeah, the blue one has it accurate.
Okay. Any other discussion on this at this time?
Thank you.
Okay, I get my...
Okay, the 2013-2014 final school calendar.
Okay, the last day for preschool kindergartners will be June 9th. The last day for first graders through eighth graders is our recommendation. Again, it will have to go to board on May 12th. Will be June 10th. Hadley graduation will be on the evening of June 10th. Hadley eighth graders will not have that traditional extra day because in the past we've had 174 student days. We had to use, by law, by state code, we need 173 student contact days. We used an additional 3 days. So we used the one day, the 174 day, as one of our additional student contact days, and then we needed to add 3 additional contact days for our students. That puts us to June 10th. That does not allow for the eighth graders to have a day, their own kind of day. June 10th is a SIP day. All students will be done at noon. Hadley graduation will be that evening. Staff's last day will be June 11th. That is our recommendation that will be in front of the board, again, May 12th.
Okay, any thoughts on this? Okay.
It's going to snow.
Yeah.
I appreciate you putting that out there because if there is another event, rain or whatever else occurs, it could change. We would have to have ROE waiver. So I do appreciate you putting that out there.
So keep your fingers crossed. Okay. All right. The 2014-2015 cap year paper bid results.
Mike? Bob? Sorry. Any conversation?
Other than what's in the board report, presented previously.
Any questions on this?
No, straightforward.
Okay.
Every year this time.
Okay, again, as the calendar will also come back for action on the May 12th meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the 2014 mobile classroom relocations bid award recommendation, bid packet number 2. Bob.
Well, this evening we have Jack Hayes with us, and I think Jack would probably be the best authority to be able to respond to any questions that the board may have. This really is about the portable relocations as a result of the construction project. And in particular, this has to do with relocating the Lincoln portable from the west end of the building to the north side, and then for the movement of the four pack of portables at Forest Glen out along Highland Avenue.
Jack, anything you want to add to that?
It's basically the infrastructure to support the relocation, which will be done by our mobile company, IMS. So power, concrete, structure, and those things.
So the Lincoln portables will be moved on a semi-permanent basis because they're going to remain after the construction, right?
They're going to be... I don't know if that decision has been made, to be quite honest with you, Sam, but the relocation is being done in a way that it's considered temporary, but can be...
has options if we allow.
Options and reviewed. Temporary meaning for year or two.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, not 2 or 3 months.
Right.
But not 10 or 15 years either.
Sorry.
So
phrase that incorrectly.
So I just want to make sure that I'm clear to answer.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah. Yep. And then the Forest Glen will be even less.
They're going to be very similar installations. But we're only the intention that because there's a certain minimum standard you have to meet for structural integrity of the units. So they'll be essentially the same installation at Forest Glen than at Lincoln.
So they're going to be moved to get ready for the following years.
Right. We have to move them this summer so they're back up and occupied, furniture moved in and teachers set up in time for August start of school.
Is this so everybody knows, and if there's any Forest Glen parents here, where exactly are they going to go?
So on the northwest corner of our property at Highland and Elm. Out at that corner near the sidewalk.
And just a clarification, the reason we're moving Forest Glens a year earlier is so if we can start in the spring, they can occupy them the following year, start of the school year, as opposed to how Lincoln or Ben Franklin will have it, which will occupy the new additions in January.
Right.
So that's the reason we're using Forest Glens or a year earlier. Mm-hmm. Now, in the finance committee, we talked about, because in the bids packet, you guys tabled the
canopies.
Thank
correct.
You for filling in my blank. And you guys were working some alternatives. You're still in that state of working several alternatives to see what we can get done in a cost-efficient way.
Right. We haven't brought a recommendation yet, but we've evaluated what was bid, which was more of a permanent solution to a more temporary solution. And we've got that narrowed down to a couple, and we're trying to work through a couple of more details to bring it back.
Thanks.
And the reason for that was the more permanent bids were significantly higher dollar-wise?
Significantly.
Yeah. Canopies, this is that...
covered walkway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the covered walkway.
To the mobiles.
Between the school structure and the mobiles. So we have walkways.
It was...
And these are canopies that go over the walkway.
And the can't... Just to clarify, the canopies are a state required when you have temporary or when you have portables. Something that the district has offered.
Okay.
And then the other thing I just want to let board members know, I've talked to Jack about one thing I want to see, and he's going to put the report together, is just when we have our bid items and we all approved it, as we now have these hard final LET contracts, as I call it, bids coming in, that we kind of have a comparison. It may not equal every line item because certain trades overlap various of line items, but he'll do his best so we can kind of take an eye to it. It's something the finance committee will look at before the board gets it, just so we can kind of vet it and tweak it. But I'm sure Jack's done stuff like that before and can give us something. Thanks.
Yep. Okay. So, I'm sorry, just two questions. So this has nothing to do with the Churchill portals, right?
Correct.
And on the Lincoln ones, what if the Lincoln ones have to stay for 5 or 6 years?
They'd have to get recertified every year.
Like they do now.
But based on what you're putting down, that it should be fine? I mean, you said it was like 2 or 3 years. Is that just because of the plan, or that's because of the durability of what you're putting down?
The durability. Because of the nature of those structures, they have some movement to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the shorter-term solution that we're suggesting that's been designed is sufficient for a year or two, but to go beyond that, you might have to have IMS, which is your mobile company, come back out, check the straps, tie them down, re-level them in some cases, and make sure that everything is plumb, and then recertify and move on. Some of that is done on an annual basis, whereas the ones that are in place right now have concrete piers underneath them, and the concrete piers minimize that movement. So on an annual basis, it's pretty much just a visual inspection, make sure everything's good, and move on. With the reinstallation at Lincoln now, there might need to be some maintenance work every year, every couple of years, to make sure that that stays in place.
So, I mean, I'm assuming this is a more cost-effective way of doing it.
Yes.
But if we end up not going to the next phase or whatever for financial reasons or what, I mean, would we be required to then move them, put piers down, and put them on top, or is this a structure that...
In talking through this with the mobile company and somebody from the State Board of Ed, there's mobiles in place in other school districts that are installed like this, and they've been in place for over 10 years. So you're saving about $120,000 of funding by doing this installation versus the permanent, semi-permanent solution with concrete. I think in the long run, it's a more cost-effective solution.
And ultimately, Jack, in your opinion, it's very safe for students, because to me is the most important piece of this conversation.
It's structurally designed and signed off by the engineer and the local regional office of education that it was installed properly, and that's the purpose for the recertification on an annual basis.
I mean, that's what I'm concerned about, is the safety for if they stay 5 or 10 more years.
Yeah, it requires an annual recertification, which under the current, like the ones at Hadley, the recertification is kind of perfunctory. Go take a look, make sure everything's okay, and you sign it that it is, and you move on. At Lincoln, if they're going to be there 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, that annual will be a little bit more involved, and it might require some maintenance, where now there's virtually no maintenance.
And the savings is $120,000 for everything or just for the link?
Just for link.
But John, I'm going to have to make sure that it moves forward.
Well, I don't think there's any question we want to move forward. Question of
public record.
People have to decide that.
All right, anything else on this? Okay, good. Again, we'll be back for action on the May 12th meeting. The 2014 miscellaneous trades bid award recommendation?
Yeah, do you want to give us just a quick?
Sure. I think there were two items on this recommendation. One is for casework, the other one is for shades. The shades just was a bid that we took, and this is the first recommendation, so Lowe's responsive. The casework is a rebid. What was originally bid, there was a large variation in the bids received. It raised a lot of questions. It resulted in some design clarifications, rebidding, and this is the recommendation. Now everything came back apples to apples versus apples and oranges.
Yep. Okay. Any questions on this? Okay. Again, action May 12th. Resolution regarding approval of change orders for the 2014 and 2015 school addition construction.
This is a resolution that would allow Bob the authority for making any change order request during summer months, specifically in July, that would exceed $10,000. However, the change order would not exceed the budget the board approved for the overall cost of the project. This has been looked at by the attorneys at Franzek. They've brought to you their recommendation for that. That's pretty typical within the educational industry of how this works. And some of you may have been a part of it in past construction projects.
So this is because we won't be having board meetings during that time, and it would slow down the process.
Correct. And okay. Again, it would never go over the budgeted amount.
I understand.
Yep.
Does this, because we know that some members of the community spend an awful lot of time looking at our expenditures, as they should, does this open up you and Bob to any further scrutiny because something happens then and we don't get to approve it, and it's in the budget now, but later on the budget is over and they point back and say it's because you did that change?
There'll be some checks and balances in place. Bob will bring the recommendation to myself. I will inform the board of those changes through email, through phone calls, whatever it would be. Would not be going out there all by myself on that piece, but I would be informing the board of these changes and expecting, like you always have these past 10 months, quick response back to me. But it really does not, without it, it hampers our ability to make some of the decisions that Jack and others are looking to make.
I will go above and beyond the call of duty to ensure that, obviously, Paul knows and that the board knows any potential for change orders that arise in the normal course of us getting these projects done on a timely basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's purely so that we can continue to move along because we have a pretty tight time frame to get all this work done.
Yeah.
And we just want to keep the process moving forward.
And we want to help. That's our point. We want to help to make sure that goes as fast as possible.
Communication will be our key here.
I'm going to ask a couple of questions on the resolution. One is, first of all, I'll make a statement. I expect no change orders, Jack. So
Jack finds that as a really big surprise.
you can give me ones that for engineering, value engineering them out. But as far as increases, and I like the fact this gets a decrease too. But I've thought about this. Is this thing expired? Want to get better?
These projects are completed.
So this is for the length, but to me, the reason for having it is because we're not here in the summer. That's what was just stated, and that's what's in the whereases. But if it doesn't expire, then we shouldn't have that whereas, because we really want to give you the flexibility year-round. Okay, if that's what everybody agrees, what I heard was we want to give it during the summer months. But this resolution really wants to give you flexibility year-round, or a project, the whole project. So that's two different things. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with the second one. I'm okay with the first one. So I want clarification before it's we could have that before it's brought forth for a vote. The second thing is, I don't mind giving you the flexibility. I think the flexibility is warranted in the summer, maybe beyond. But I do think there should be a cap, even though we're budgeting it. I mean, we could put a cap there that makes you guys feel comfortable, but...
There is.
Is there? There's 20, within the
less
budget.
Less than 25,000.
There's two caps, actually. There's the 25,000. By law, we can't go above $25,000 without going out for rebid, according to
the Illinois
board is structured with the Illinois statutes.
But does that then mean you have to get our approval for that new contract or that new rebid?
If there's a change order that results in something over $25,000, we're going to have to go out for bid and come to the board for a
rebid. Okay, so that's
so that's then, one.
Okay,
that's one. The second cap that's in there is that it all has to be done in context of the overall project budget.
No, that I understand.
So, but going back to one of your other comments, the idea that this would be limited to the summer is to me something that would be helpful to have that review. And
right.
The reason for this is that the motivation behind this isn't to approve change orders. It's to access money that's in the budget that the district is holding, either in allowances or contingency, and in some cases allowances within contracts that are not earmarked for a specific item, but we've put additional money into electrical. I'm not thinking of one off the top of my head right now. But
I understand the allowances, but the thing is from the standpoint of I just make sure we have the whereas is right or that everybody understands, because what was stated was really for a different purpose. So I'm fine with giving you the flexibility. The 25 grand, I didn't understand that you'd have to come back because it's a whole new contract. So that's pretty small limit. My limit I wrote down is much higher than that.
Yeah, it is pretty small.
But I will say that in my mind, we have a presentation where we, from the budget, there's a savings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now my new benchmark is that saving is lower. But this document says it's not. So but it's okay because we have the $25,000 limit, and I'm fine with that. So from my perspective, having flexibility when you need an answer with how we need it, it's fine to have it, especially with the limit of $25,000. But I just think you want to clarify that this is going to be for the of all 16 classrooms.
Okay.
Just so it's clear.
Mm-hmm. And to clarify, we have typically one meeting in July. Correct? But no, we're off for July.
Yeah,
right. So
yeah,
June, August, off in July.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're still giving the flexibility for the whole contract.
Right.
I guess I'll have to.
I think last year we had a meeting in July because we were in that. We did.
That's, I guess, what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. We do have one in August, don't we?
Yes.
We have regular meetings.
I'll have to dig into it a little more.
Okay.
It's policy we have. It's 10 grand. That's part of our responsibility. And I think we could find four board members almost any day.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned about that.
Okay.
I will say when you're moving dirt or you're doing this or you find this, you want it within minutes, not within 24 hours. Because you mobilize, you have your backhoe there, you have your truck, your dump truck there, you're going to move it. And to remobilize, even that simple stuff, will cost extra money. So a $25,000 limit during a construction budget of whatever we are at hard cost. 12 million, 13 million. I'll keep them lower, T-Jack. But I think that's adequate. I mean, they're going to have to come back anything over 25 weeks based on the statute.
And we have to stay within the allocated budget.
Okay.
That's,
I mean, that's
that
pretty important.
Set. We've already set that.
Right.
Which is good.
Well, I mean,
you still want those savings to be saved.
The resolution is specific to the summer months. I mean, that's
my point.
Well, you read it, that's what this is.
Just for July.
So, well, summer month. So you're suggesting a much broader resolution throughout the
project. Okay.
But I guess the pushback to that would be, as John said, the board would probably be more available during the school year. But I guess I'd have to hear more. Is it really a hour-by-hour thing, or is there some planning here where you can have a 24-hour, 48-hour window?
Can I just a comment? 3 years ago when we had the parking lot,
The contractor hit a water main that was unidentified in the plans, and we literally had to make a decision within an hour in terms of what we were going to do because they were going to pull the equipment off site, and then we would be forced to shut the project down for a day or two, whatever that time is, and then remobilize a couple of days later. This is really intended just to keep the projects moving forward. And again, communication will be my goal to provide Paul and the board with updates very quickly.
Well, I mean, that makes perfect sense, but the way this is written, that's not the intent of this document.
So do we need to have them resubmit a resolution before?
I would think so.
We have to.
But we could. You could modify the one here, and we could still vote on it next time.
Well, under Joe's definition of you literally need to do things in minutes, we would need to do this for the entire project.
That's what you're...
Well, and that's what Jack is suggesting as well.
I think the resolution limited to summer months takes the advantage of the resolution away in terms of the overall execution of the project because it's a timeliness thing associated with the execution of work. And that can happen at any time during the project.
So I'm sure that our attorneys can weigh in on this.
Yep.
And Sam, I defer to the attorneys, but it's just the way the whereases are written. It's not necessarily in the base document. It actually gave them no end date in there.
No, I agree with that, too.
But it was just a little confusing.
So is that a common occurrence, no end date to these resolutions? And maybe this one is because it's specific to one month. It's implicit in the document itself. But maybe if
it doesn't say 1 month.
If we clean up the document, I think then that'll get us to where you guys.
At some point, you'll need an end date.
I think it was the intention for this project.
Right.
By mentioning the $15 million.
Right.
I think that was the intention.
I get it, but again,
we need to clean it up.
Okay. Anything else on this? Okay, again, we'll clean that up. This will come back for action in May 12th. All right, grant of temporary construction access.
So this is access to the Churchill site, allowing us to enter
Churchill
east side. My brain is now done with direction, so I'm going to hand it over. Giving us access to the site through the Park District property.
So, because we've had issues with access within Churchill site, you know, we've talked about the west side of access, we've talked about access from the east side. So, in parallel, we have worked with Jack and the architects to identify what may be the best way to access the back of Churchill. And what we've done is I contacted the Park District, and we set up the parameters. They were in agreement, so they asked that our attorney prepare an IGA allowing us access along the east side of our property there for the duration of the project. So our attorneys wrote the intergovernmental agreement. It's already been approved and signed by the Park District, and it truly is to give us access along the east side of Churchill for the duration of that project.
And this needs to be done now because we need access to the back of Churchill now.
We're looking to get access to the back of Churchill literally the day kids get out of school. We may be in that area of work, in fact.
Even though Churchill isn't on the schedule until next year.
Well, we have two things going on. We're excavating a large amount of excess soil from Franklin and Lincoln and Forest Glen, and the district is going to save money by being able to use it at Churchill. And we're currently out for bid right now for the site development work at Churchill, which will occur this summer into the fall for the underground stormwater detention. So that when we get into the spring of 2015, we can actually start facility construction. So there will be work going on at Churchill this summer.
Okay.
I just have a question, Bob. In the second paragraph under discussion says the expectation is that when the property is returned to the Park District, it will resemble the original characteristics of the property prior to the construction of the temporary road. Whose standard is that? It seems a little fuzzy to me.
It's a little fuzzy, and there's not a lot back there now. It's mostly overgrown.
Yeah, it's that part that's way
it's to the side of the, like behind the pavilion.
Behind the big gym.
Okay.
Behind and to the east of the big gym.
Okay. Got it. Okay, thank you. Okay. I just wanted to know there's prairie in there.
Oh, no.
I know I've worked on that before with projects and stuff, so.
We're basically taking a little corner of the park district.
And I just wanted to mention the park district has been great to work with on this project.
Good.
And more than understanding and help resolving any outstanding issues.
Okay. It's important to note that, as you said, the park district has already signed the intergovernmental agreement, so it's up for action for us on May 12th. Okay. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Jack. Engineering is elementary.
Okay, this is regarding a resource that will support the next generation science standards, and this particularly targets grades 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
We've been, as I mentioned, kind of in the report and that, working with the standards since last summer. The engineering design process, and that is a key part of next generation science standards. And what we started to do is as we're developing the curriculum, we've kind of laid out a scope and sequence for next year. But the desire by teachers on the committee to really start introducing those engineering practices, it's one of the recommendations from Carol Baker, who's one of the authors of the NGSS, is that'd be a great kind of entry point with it. We've talked to other districts that have had engineering as a part of their curriculum or part of their core curriculum, and this is one resource, a primary resource that they always started with in that. So EIE, which Engineering is Elementary, gave us the materials on loan for free for 30 days. So the committee kind of reviewed the different resources. They were in grade level bands, and they looked at kind of their standards, their NGSS standards for their grade level, which of these units might complement or introduce this. The one thing that we like about this is it's a tightly scripted program, and it comes complete with all of the hands-on materials. We won't be trying to kind of find the cups we need or things like that. It'll be complete along with refill kits, those kinds of things for this first year. But the teachers on the committee, and I totally support this, felt like because it's more scripted, it'll be that kind of that nice introduction for the teachers to kind of go page by page as opposed to having to kind of develop the
units. To figure it out on their own,
To figure it out on their own. And they said even as they evolve and get better at the whole kind of teaching of that engineering, which NGSS would tell you, engineers solve problems. And we solve problems every day, and it's kind of a way to help reinforce with our elementary teachers that you can teach engineering, that sort of a thing. So there will still be kind of those hands-on activities within these that we'll always be able to pull. I did note that Franklin, as a result of the committee, they have to be planning a PBL that connects to the construction that's going to occur at Franklin. And they requested the water everywhere now to be able to use that as part of their unit. And so we'll have some feedback from them about how hard it was to kind of use that guide and sort of that thing. So really, just kind of bringing this to you, it'll come back for action. The funds are already were allocated within the 13-14, my budget for the 13-14 school year, in anticipation of knowing that we were going to be looking at some new resources to support NGSS. Hadley is not ready to kind of be looking at anything more specific like this, and kindergarten went through all the resources and decided they prefer the pushes and pulls that supported their curriculum better than
what do you mean by that, Karen? Pushes and pulls.
That's
the time.
Like you're pushing them out of the class, you're pulling them back.
No, it's the
thing. Yes.
So at finance, we talked about this briefly, and the teachers were all allowed to participate in this to make this decision.
Well, it's the
and some did and some did.
The science committee. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
So we have every grade level represented. We have every building represented, but not every building at every grade level represented.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is not this. Well, I guess I'll ask. Is this now the science curriculum, or is this
It's not a complete curriculum resource, because it's really just focusing on the engineering and technology. It actually will use the literacy standards and some of the math standards in that, but it's designed to complement something like FOSS or just different other curriculum resources that are out there.
Okay. Anything else on this? All right, again, it'll come back for action May 12th.
Right.
Okay.
And then the last one here is Heather Boharum. Kayla was here. She lost about a quarter of that. So Kayla Wheeler is one of the literacy specialists, and she has worked with both the science and social studies department at Hadley as they needed the PLC around their planning and that. And the book room hosts material that classroom teachers go to pull small text sets for some of their small group instruction. Elementary teachers rely on it heavily, and Hadley, probably more so as the desire to increase the informational text. And we've already, I would say, transformed our elementary book rooms with a lot of informational text, and we want to enhance them at Hadley. Now, these are... I would say probably geared more towards some of our lower level readers, because the grade levels go down in that. But those are the kids who, when they go to do some of their research, to access that text at a more comprehensible level. So she'll continue to work with those departments as the curriculum, but she's already looked at kind of the MGSS and those areas of topic that would be coming. So this just kind of will complement what is already in the Hadley book room, and then as a resource to those.
Karen, is there a gap in the book room in terms of the kind of resources for kids that need more baseline tools?
So the lower level text, yeah, and the informational text.
So there's a gap there.
Right, so that's where the gap is.
Mm-hmm. Is she going to be selecting the text, or is Chris going to select the text? Or?
Kayla worked with the science and social studies department in that to select it, and she vetted all of those. I mean, just kind of as we move forward, and informational text, you know, if you can read the topics and that, it's all very appropriate for.
Well, I assume that, but I was just curious who was actually making the decisions.
Kayla vetted it, but she got the input from science and social studies teachers.
Okay.
Yeah, and even worked with her ASL teachers and specialists.
Okay.
It will also come back also part of the 13-14 budget.
Okay. Come back on the 12th for action.
Correct.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Karen. Okay. Upcoming meetings. Now, these dates are...
Except
for the 14th.
Yes. The 14th.
Upcoming meetings. May 3rd, community listening session, 8:30 a.m. at the Hadley Library Media Center. If you haven't signed up, please sign up. There's access to sign up on the district website. May 5th, Board of Education special meeting, 7:30 p.m. here at the Central Services Office. And May 12th, Board of Education regular meeting, 7:30 p.m. at the Hadley Library Media Center. It is actually at Hadley.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
That is a location change, so we need to know that.
Oh, for 5th?
12th.
12th. The 3rd at Hadley, the 5th here, the 12th at Hadley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other matters. Are there any other matters to be considered by the board at this time? All right. Public participation. Is there anyone present at this time who would like to address the board?
Rita Yelenowski. Pretty good. Okay. First name is Nitta. I'm a District 41 parent, also a taxpayer. First of all, appreciate you letting me express my thoughts. My concern, thank you again for posting the survey results online. It was very interesting and very enlightening to look at those. Appreciate the last board meeting, Bill Foster evaluating them for us. And I also appreciate the complete part of the survey. My concern today is I saw the comment section, and I'm looking at them,
And granted, I was just looking on my cell phone, and maybe I need a big screen to see the whole thing, but I saw a lot of truncated remarks, and even mine included, and so I'm just kind of concerned that not everybody's really getting all their thoughts completely posted on there, and I think that's important to make sure that they've not been truncated. As far as I'm concerned, there were no character limits when we were typing these, but there was a lot of mid-sentence truncations, and I think that somebody should fix that and make sure the complete comments are still on there. So that's all. That's just a comment.
And just back, I believe it's probably off of your iPhone. The only things that we redacted were people's names. That was the only thing that was redacted from the comments. So please look at it on a full screen. I can't imagine looking at all those pages on your iPhone. But I get it. But there were no comments. There were no sections. Oh, we did. I apologize.
It was really one of the longer comments.
Sure.
That was on the parent one?
I apologize.
I don't even know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more time, just to clarify the discussion that you guys had. What I meant, at least, when I said I hope the board keeps it up. And I'm just going to go ahead and acknowledge the elephant in the room and say that what this board is now hearing from Dr. Gordon and the professional development plan and the schedule for assessments and the plan for benchmarks and all this stuff is frankly what, in my opinion, the former board should have been presented with before it voted on this three-phase schedule. So when I said keep an open mind, what I meant is this board, I would hope, would not feel constrained by this three-phase schedule with a one-year turnaround if that's not what now our new superintendent, Dr. Gordon, and our current teachers and staff with this schedule feel is best. So it sounds like, I'm very optimistic. I've been met with Dr. Gordon several times throughout the year. As you guys know, I'm on Team 21. I'm optimistic that hopefully that the teachers will be more involved, hopefully, from this point forward. The parents have been listened to from this point forward. But I will say, Mr. Elder, I'm a little disappointed with your comments because I do think that I think any parent, quite frankly, who was involved in the meeting last year and any teacher who was opposed to this would be well within their rights to stand up and say, I told you so. Because everything that we're hearing now was voiced with the timeline. And again, not necessarily the long-term vision. Everybody can agree to disagree on multi-age and the value of teacher specialization. We all have different opinions. But what I think everybody, a lot of parents really stood firm on and stood strong and together was slow down and have a plan because there was no plan. And I'm not saying that to cry over spilled milk. I'm just saying this is where we are now. So I just really hope that the board will not feel like they are limited and have to stick to this timeline and have to make more changes as every year comes if that's not what the administration and the teachers still feel is best. That's all.
Amen.
Thank you, Amy. Anyone else?
Jennifer Rapp. Hi, I have two things I want to talk about. The first, in light of the discussion tonight, is the measurements you're using, the FASA smell and the map, I'm not necessarily sure were created to evaluate a plan like this. I think they're used to drive instruction, to help teachers figure out what to teach. I think your FASA smell scores and your map scores and your IQ scores are pretty high already. So even if you do see an increase under this plan, let's say, 91 to 93%, meets and exceeds, I don't know how much that is really going to tell you. You can still do STEAM and problem-based learning, which are wonderful things, under the old model. There's nothing about this new model that helps drive these things. My second issue was the computer laptop issue, and I have it here on my phone. I agree that laptops and technology are part of 21st century learning. However, I think they're being misused currently, part of it in due fact to the new think tank model. I see my fourth grader on his laptop about 45 to 60 minutes per day on average, sometimes more. The laptops can be used as a tool for research, for writing papers, but oftentimes they're used for review, like drill and kill worksheets used to be. Some literacy classes have 28 students. I don't see how you could reasonably expect the teacher to monitor all their students when they're expected to be doing guided reading groups and flexible groups. Granted, most students are trustworthy and the firewall work most of the time. There have been instances, however, especially because they're allowed to bring in their own electronic devices, where it seems to cause a lot of problems. I know kids take pictures of each other, pass that around. I know it's difficult to keep controls on this. But I would recommend, from my own personal experience, to kind of kibosh letting them bring in their own personal devices. I'm concerned about the amount of time per day. The American Academy of Pediatrics says 2 hours of screen time a day, and I know my kids go over that at school alone. And then they come home and they say, I've obviously become more screen time. So I think I'm concerned that computers are becoming more of a babysitter instead of professional human instruction. Overall, I think the security measures probably need a little tweaking, but also the instructional limits in your policy needs to be looked at. I'm very disappointed in Mr. Elder's comments today. I'm a voting taxpayer, and I'm really kicking myself right now for signing the petition when you were coming for board. I kind of talked to you.
That's time. Could you please summarize?
Okay.
All right, thank you. Anyone else?
I think a couple of things I wanted to say. First off, I was one of the community members who I know didn't fill out the survey and complained about the survey. And so I would just like to clarify that I had one very specific complaint, and that was that I felt that the part of the survey about specialization was flawed because data wasn't captured specifically by grade. If a parent had a child in more than one grade, they couldn't answer differently. I thought that was a flaw. Still maintain it's a flaw, and I was told that the comments would be used to further evaluate it. So maybe there's other people that are also complaining, but I do think that the data should be used, and I still think the data for specialization is really hard to know what that means. A couple other thoughts. Basically, ditto to everything that Amy and Silva already said. But I would like to say, as far as I'm insulted by parents being told they need to stop fighting. If there's only 20% of people in this town have kids in school, and if your child has anxiety, doesn't want to go to school, cries every day before school when they used to love school, do you expect us as parents to just sit by and not do something about it? As a parent, am I supposed to sit by when my six-year-old who has special needs is crammed into one classroom with two classes and not try to implement change? And I think it's normal in school districts. A lot of times teachers feel a little bit powerless. They don't want to be the rabble-rousers. And so they typically turn to parents when they don't see things happening right and say, look, we need you parents to try to be our voice. That is not unusual. That is not new to District 41. I've talked to parents and teachers from other districts who say it happens all over the country. And so I think our teachers had concerns. They still have concerns. A teacher the other day just told one of my friends at a different school, not Lincoln, said they flat out said they do not think we should do a multi-age for 2-3. It's not appropriate for second and third graders to be together. So what is that parent supposed to do? You know, she's supposed to sit by when she has a child going into second or third grade when a teacher that she values and respects tells her that. So don't tell us that we can't fight for our kids. Nobody, if you sat in the meetings last year, myself and many of the parents that spoke, we tried to be professional. We met with Dr. Gordon when he came here. You can ask him about the binder I made him. It was not slanted one way. We tried to be objective and reasonable and just try to do the right thing. We were concerned that we were doing too much at once, and I think that clearly has been demonstrated. last year, we were supposed to be doing 2-3 multi-age at Lincoln. I think that was on the table. Like, we're going to do that at Lincoln. That got taken off the table. And on the day the board was voting, that magically disappeared. But
that's time stuff. Could you?
But anyway, I mean, clearly, some things didn't go well. And
that's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Board has determined it is again and has the need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employer or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. And also to discuss the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired. I have a motion to adjourn to closed session.
Motion.
Second. Motion by Mr. Kenwood, second by Mr. Ellis. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Yeah. Get some
yes. Motion out. Carries. Board is going to close session. Time is 7:45. We will not be taking action when we return to open session. Okay. Back in open sessions, 1:15 a.m. We need a motion to adjourn the open meeting.
Still motion.
Sorry.
Kenwood, second by Ellis. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Meeting adjourned. 1:16.
Nice.
Thanks, everybody.